Who's afraid of summer?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Friday morning, Steve Cochran Show takes off from the Allstate Skyline Studio. Dave Ennett, Mary Sandberg Boyle alongside. Justin has the morning off. Pete and Joe on the other side of the glass. Steve Grzanich in the newsroom. And Mary Vandeveld in traffic. And here we go on a busy Friday. Let's get right to the top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Number one on the top six is taking place where, Mary? On the highways and byways of Chicago?
That's right. I believe somewhere near Racine.
Oh, yes.
Uh-oh.
Accident there. Mm-hmm.
So,
it's being cleared. Yes, don't go in the right lane.
I'm reporting live, Mary Vandeveld, from that accident. Not the accident, however.
Oh, thank goodness.
A few hundred friends of mine and I are having a tailgating situation here where we're all just barbecuing.
Stay out of the right lane.
It's a stalled car, you're telling me? Because basically, I don't know, you're going to have to send provisions. We're going to need some food, some water, because right now I'm going 1 mile an hour, which means, look, at this rate, I will be there just in time for the Rokon show.
It's just a stall. It's not even an accident.
Tell it to the people who decided to take five lanes of traffic and funnel it down to two here. One car stalls and everybody waits. That should be the new slogan for the Eisenhower.
Now, Steve,
I'm in construction there, too.
Hey, so. Steve, are you doing that thing where you, like, you straddle two lines so no one can cut in front of you in that lane?
Yes, I'm swerving back and forth, making sure that no one can go around me because that's the friendly thing to do. So, Vandeveld, what is for all this project that is here, now that I have time to look at it, when is this going to be done? Is it going to be done before I die?
Couple more years. Did you notice how...
Couple more years.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
So it's a crapshoot, Mary.
It's the Jane Byrne Interchange. Did you notice how it's now called Ida B. Wells? Did you notice the change?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but you know what I noticed more is, 12 lanes cut down to two. You can funnel only so many people through a small hole, and that's kind of what we're dealing with here.
So, Steve...
Hold on, I'm about to pass the stalled car.
Oh.
Right, hey, thank you.
Anybody in there?
Hey, maybe get to a garage next time before you do this.
Does it open up once you're past the stalled car?
I am already up to 6 miles an hour.
Oh, perfect.
Seven, eight, traffic starting to move. Because you know what happens when you get by a stall or any sort of traffic issue? You get that anger release where everybody hits the gas. It's like when the pace car gets off the track at Daytona.
But sometimes you get that one confused person that doesn't know that it's okay to go fast.
Right.
And they still hold up traffic.
And then, when you get on the Columbus?
Congress?
How long have I lived in this town? When you get into Congress...
It's not called Congress anymore. It's called Ida B. Wells Drive.
When you get onto Ida B. Wells, like you're saying, there's a concrete wall on either side of two lanes. And if you get anybody from out of town, they really don't go more than that 4 or 5 miles an hour because they're afraid they're going to park it into the wall.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah, that is reasonable.
Yeah, it's not good. We drive this every day. It's really not fun.
All right, it's broken up. I should see you guys sometime between Bill and Wendy and John Williams.
Okay, we'll look forward to that. Thank you, Steve.
Sounds like angry birds pecking at his window.
It does.
What the heck is
That's
going on?
That's a cell phone situation
it's
there.
It's not even raining.
Steve, I don't know if it's caused by some of the construction equipment, but good to know he's safe and he's on his way in.
Yeah.
All right. So.
There you go.
There
quack
it. Jesse Smollett apologizes to the cast of Empire and the crew, but insists he's innocent. He called the cast and crew of the TV show together last night. They were expecting him to come clean about what really happened, according to a report from CNN. He did apologize to his co-workers for any embarrassment they may have felt since the story began. But then, according to a person attending the meeting, he stuck to his story that he is innocent for the most part, according to the source. He paraphrased what was in the statement that his legal team put out yesterday, that he maintains his innocence.
As the famous Buzzkill Minoy says, deny, 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 even if there's proof.
There you go.
You always stick with your story.
On a related note, Charles Barkley had the jokes for the Smollett case, which isn't necessarily a laughing matter to a lot of people. His quote was, America, let me tell you something. Do not commit crimes with checks. If you're going to break the law, do not write a check. Get cash, man. You think they put that on the receipt? Face mask, rope, bleach.
So, not too obvious.
So, yeah, yeah. Chuckles always comes up with the appropriate
paper trail
comment.
Where he's got the problem. Yeah.
Yep. Nike is looking for answers after the injury to Duke star Zion Williamson when his shoe basically fell apart early in that game against North Carolina the other night, and he suffered a knee injury, which thankfully is not serious, and he is day-to-day. It's a knee sprain, but it certainly looked worse when it happened.
You've seen a lot of basketball, Dave. Have you ever seen a shoe come apart on the court?
I don't think I ever have. I've seen a lot of shoes lost. I saw one the other night.
When they walk out of it, kind of?
Guys lose the shoe during play, but I've never seen a shoe just break apart. Of course, everyone in the Nike world now is trying to figure out why it happened.
Sure.
Bad rubber.
Yeah, he's a giant man, too.
Well, there's a lot of weight inside that shoe. R. Kelly accused of sexual misconduct by two more women as that story continues. And this is a sad note for those of us. And Mary, I'm sure, Vandeveld, I'm sure that this hit you hard, too. We lost two of the Beatles many years ago.
Yes.
Now we've lost half of the Monkees.
Yeah.
Peter Tork, the endearingly offbeat bassist and singer, has died at the age of 77.
Second best looking monkey.
I didn't know. I was listening to Bill and Wendy that he was one of the ones that actually is a musician. I didn't know that they weren't all musicians.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And I used to, just like Pete's wife, we used to watch the Monkees on Nickelodeon after school.
Yeah.
I would heat up Chips Ahoy in the toaster oven, a little warm Chips Ahoy cookie.
Ugh.
And watch some Monkees.
See, Mary and I used to watch them on NBC in prime time.
Yes, prime time. I asked my kids yesterday, did you guys hear that Peter Tork died? They're like, who? Neither one of them. You know.
Yeah, of course not. Of course not.
Seriously, I said from the Monkees, then they knew.
So that leaves Mickey Dolenz and Mike Nesmith as the lone surviving members of the Monkees. That's the top six at
Wait,
six.
Hold on. Whoop. Sorry, Dave.
Yes.
Mary, did you just say ugh to a warm cookie? Or what was
it
that
just
about?
It sounded like she cooked it in an easy bake oven or something.
It was, a toaster oven. We would go to my grandma's house after, and she had a toaster oven, and they had Chips Ahoy cookies, which my parents wouldn't buy because they were too expensive. You just put it in at a little low heat to warm it up so that the chips got a little melty. It was delicious.
Really?
Yeah.
Another ugh to a warm cookie.
I'm not a big Chips Ahoy person anyway, so yeah. I'm more of an Oreo girl.
Okay.
Dip in the milk.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
The top six at six, brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Man. Guess what time it is? It's almost time for Lou's first call.
Woo!
So we are ready to take the first call for Lou Manfredini right now and check in. I've actually got some questions for him too, so we'll get to that.
I hope it's a Buckthorn.
It's not a Buckthorn question.
It's Lou's first call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers. We won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's first call.
Lou's first call. Lou Manfredini will join us here in just a moment. 312-981-7200, the number, if you want to get in with your first call for Lou Manfredini. from House Smarts Radio. He'll be on the air tomorrow morning. He'll be on the air with us here in just a few moments.
And Lou is the one that started the whole stealing milk, breast milk controversy in our refrigerators.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so.
Yeah,
so we need to
You think that's why
that.
He's not picking up?
Yeah.
Now, I think it was alleged, though. I don't know that we know that for sure.
Oh, well, he had it on his Instagram story, so I find okay. that. Isn't that where I go to for all facts, Instagram stories?
Well, that's a good place to go. I think I hear him in the background there. Lou, good morning.
Hi.
Hey, there he is.
I didn't steal anybody's milk.
No, aren't you the first one to put up in the breast milk in there, though?
My wife is so mad at me about that. She said, you're making fun of breast milk. I said, no, I'm not.
I think it's hilarious.
Was funny.
It was a joke.
Yeah. Yeah, I get the joke.
So Lindsay and I on Saturday mornings, we actually make our own coffee. I have a little coffee maker. We make Misericordia coffee because it's so delicious. And I brought in a half-gallon thing of, half and half, because that's all I put in my coffee. No sugar, because I'm sweet enough. And so the next Saturday, it was completely gone. The entire half-gallon of half and half.
Uh-huh.
All right, whatever.
Yeah.
I'll bring in more. I mean, it's, you know what? It's not that big of a deal. And then I remembered I needed it, and I remember John Williams having a whole conversation about the emails that went by where people were eating other people's food, which is crazy. You're all a bunch of adults. Don't eat other people's food. But if you want to use my breast milk, it's fine.
Okay. Lou's first call is sponsored by American Weathermakers.
I want no part of this.
Nope. How about let's get to Lou's first call? Ken in Wakanda, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing great. Lou's with you.
Good morning, Lou.
Morning.
All right. I'm doing my housely work. I'm cleaning the basement, and I notice I've got the heat vents down around the floor level. There's mold in them. Take them off. There's nothing in the ductwork. Why am I getting mold on those vents?
The ductwork is in the ground?
No, ductwork's in the wall, but the vents are lower, probably a foot off the floor.
Okay. I mean, it could just be moisture during, the really cold weather and a humidifier running, whatever it might be, and then you're collecting as the hot air comes and the cold vent of the metal is a different temperature than the rest of the wall because of the material it's made of. It could have condensated and then been where a little mildew or mold were to collect, and that's where it formed. If you're certain that you don't have anything inside the ductwork by using a camera, a flashlight, whatever, just go ahead and use a cleaner. There's one that I really like called Concrobium Mold Control.
That stuff's awesome, Lou.
It is awesome.
No, you've had me use it. It's great.
Right. And what's interesting...
Could I get that at my local Ace?
Yes, you can.
What?
What's interesting about...
Oh, hi, Lou.
Hi. Oh, hi. What's interesting about that product is, you know, it's a sodium carbonate solution, which is mm-hmm. a long-time, old-time solution, but they liquefy it. It actually eats up the mildew and mold. Everybody runs for bleach right away when there's mildew and mold, and bleach is not a good mold killer, in particular on porous surfaces, because there's so much water in it
right.
that it actually will hold moisture and bring it all back. So I'm fine with people using bleach on a stainless steel countertop or a laminate countertop.
You're really passionate about this.
Well, I am.
I'm really excited about it. I mean, Ken from Wakanda just dozed off. I mean, right.
No, Steve, I'm listening because I have a follow-up question,
right,
and I know
ahead.
Lou can answer it. Basement, I mean, and I've heard you talk about it in the past. It's, there's a great temperature differential. In the summer with the air on, I keep the fan on 24 hours. It's on, not automatic. Should I do that in the winter?
Wait. I got this one, Lou. I just did this. You got duct vents that are closed in the wrong direction. Huh? How about that, Lou?
That's not bad. But the physics of it all. Look, there's nothing wrong with keeping the fan on 24/7. The motor is designed to run. It doesn't use a lot of electricity. And ultimately, by doing that, every commercial building has a intake and outtake fan that runs 24/7. In a home, you could do the same thing. That will circulate more of the air consistently. What you can find, depending on the temperature outside, is that sometimes the house can feel clammy. And that can happen both in the winter months and the summer months because you're not providing enough conditioning to the air. So it really does depend on the temperature range. Ultimately, if you're someone that spends a lot of time in the basement and you want to control that temperature more consistently, then the options are either to zone the existing furnace that you have or add some sort of supplemental heat in the form of a what they call a split system, which is an entirely separate heat pump that has a thermostat, a wall cartridge, and a condensing unit on the outside of the home.
Ken, we're going to have a quiz on all of this in about 5 minutes, so stand by. We're just going to keep you on hold.
I'm here. So that will help balance out the temperature between the first floor and the basement.
All right, well, listen, I'm going to have to ask you two to get together for lunch.
Before lunch, though, Ken, you're going to get a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers, Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. Those things are awesome. When you're trying to prove somebody wrong, if you like say, hey, it's cold in here, and they say it's not cold in here, you bring out your weather station.
You know what?
And, like,
you,
see?
Now you can join them for lunch. Yeah. All right, so it's going to be a nice lunch between Ken, Lou, and Sandberg. Listen, I just got here, Lou. I just swung in. Herb from the center lane on Racine says hi.
Oh, great.
He had a stalled car this morning, and he got to meet all of us. Some people were yelling how he was number one. You're on the radio tomorrow.
I am.
What time?
We start at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, and are you on TV this morning?
This morning I'm on TV with a few sneak peeks to things that are coming up in the International Home and Houseware Show.
Huh, well, that's excellent. You know, I never miss a minute of the Saturday show, but I'm glad you're doing the first caller thing here with me now in its 57th year.
Right.
Yeah. Well, have a great weekend.
Thank you. Love you.
Okay. You okay today?
I'm great.
I mean, I'm the one that should be tense. Why do you sound tense?
No. I'm fine. I was a little delayed. I was delayed myself getting to the microphone. I felt badly for Dave, and he was forced to talk about breast milk, and he was very uncomfortable with the whole topic.
That's why I actually never talked about it.
That's why he went out of town.
Dave's like, I've been doing this longer than you. I know how to keep my mouth shut.
That's right.
Enjoy your weekend, my friend.
See you guys.
See you later. 6:31. Headlines are next in 720 WGN.
It's business time. It's business. It's business time. I don't know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time. Ooh, it's business.
Live from the greatest radio studio on the planet, period. You should see our view. I'm just talking about it off the air a second ago. It's cool. Come by. And sponsored by Signature Bank. Time for the download of Chicago Business. And, you know, you hear the word startup all the time. Well, Melissa Kaufman's here, and she lived the Silicon Valley thing, and then she decided to come to Chicago and reinvent it right here, at least be a big part of that story. Welcome.
Thank you.
Nice to have you here.
Great being here. I agree. The view is spectacular.
Now, you leave Silicon Valley. That's the home office for tech.
It really is.
Is it a mental jump to say, I'm going to Chicago, or was Chicago starting to be recognized as the startup hub that we believe it to be?
I think it's still early days. When I moved here from San Francisco, a lot of friends in the startup community and venture capital said, oh, there's not much going on in Chicago. And I said, well, that can't possibly be true.
Right.
And I've really been surprised to see what a vibrant tech ecosystem is flourishing here.
So tell people what the garage is.
Yeah, so the garage is a space on the Northwestern campus for Northwestern students that are interested in startups or starting their own venture while they're in school.
But this isn't just about business. This is about people trying to figure out how to do what business they'll do,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So I think, you know, this is a trend in higher academia. A lot of schools are creating a space like the garage. What differentiates us is that we're really focused on the student and helping them develop an entrepreneurial mindset so that they can be successful in whatever they choose to do.
How big a part of that is learning how to fail?
A huge part of it. I listen to a lot of, there's a podcast called How I Built This. And if you hear any story from a great entrepreneur, you'll hear about all the things that they failed at before they got it right.
Well, they're in a percentage in tech, because there's so many people doing it. There's so much money that's infused. But, you know, venture capitalists, 1 out of 10 is a home run. I would assume the tech number is probably even smaller than that. So you better get used to, you had a great idea, we need to tweak it, now we got to start over, that kind of vibe.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's even more radical than that. Northwestern students are highly accomplished. They come in, they have to get great test scores and all of these things to get in, so they're not really comfortable or used to failing at anything. So it's a little bit of, you know, breaking them down and building them back up and getting them comfortable with the idea of new things.
How do the students come to you? Do they have to be admitted into the garage? Or
no, so the space is open to any Northwestern student, undergrad, graduate, PhD level, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. They can walk in and be in our space or talk to a mentor, get help. We have have a couple of programs that are application-based for the students that want to set up a physical office at the garage and make it their home base for their startup.
Now, you were at Google. You left to do this, or was there an in-between?
There's a couple in-between. So I worked at two Silicon Valley startups. My background's all in consumer technology, so one was in fashion and one was in shopping. And then I started my own company doing influencer marketing before anyone knew what that was.
Did you know you wanted to be a teacher? Because that's part of your gig now, right?
I didn't. You know, this has been my favorite job I've ever had. I think going into it, I always really liked mentoring and helping younger students, but I didn't realize I had a true passion for it until I started doing this job.
How big a deal is people skills in tech? Because we look at, you know, code writers are kind of, well, they're the social skills sometimes. I don't want to grossly generalize here, but code writers and social skills generally are two things that don't go together. So for techies, do you have to teach them social skills? And I don't mean, hi, how are you? But simple things we talk about now. I'm 57. You know, my kids are the first generation of millennials that only occasionally look at you in the eye because they're looking at their screens. Is that a part of this at all?
I think, I don't know if we're directly teaching social skills, but we are teaching the importance of interdisciplinary teams. Northwestern's a very interdisciplinary school.
So being able to work with someone.
Exactly. We have a great MBA program, a strong journalism school, an excellent engineering school. So bringing people together from these different corners of the university and teaching them how to work together as a team is one of the most important things that they'll learn.
How do you handle, you know, not everyone wants feedback and things. I watch The Prophet a lot, and they, you know, they ask The Prophet to come in, but then they decide it's not going to work for them because they don't actually want to take the input. How do you handle if somebody, one of the students comes in, they have ideas and things, but then they don't want the mentoring and then they just stop? Like, personally, how do you handle that?
So for a student like that, I mean, my job is, and my staff's job is, not to tell them if their idea is good or bad. It's for them to figure that out. So what we're often telling them is, you know, here's the next step you might want to take in your venture. Why don't you go try this and then come back to us and let us know what happened.
Is it hard if you know the idea is not going to work and you have to wait for them to get to that point?
No, in some ways, that's actually one of my favorite parts. I'd much rather that a student learns that while they're still in school rather than when they're out in the real world.
Part of the reason the segment of the show exists is because we want to have your experience, help teach other people how to, you know, maybe apply some of those skills to where they work. Patience, is that something you could teach, or is that something that's kind of an innate thing?
I think it's something that you maybe learn with experience and time.
Right. Experience being the big part of that?
100%.
How were you as a student? Do you see yourself in these students?
Oh, man. These students are just light years ahead of, I think, where I was as a college student, probably where we all were as college students. They have so much potential. I think what I really like seeing is kind of giving them superpowers while they're, you know, in their 19, 20, 21 years old. I can't wait to see what these students will be doing in 15, 20 years. I think they'll be running the world.
Is ego a good thing in tech?
I think confidence is a good thing in tech. I think in order to bring any new idea into this world, you have to really believe in yourself. You're going to hear a lot of no's, but you have to keep it in balance. I think there is such thing as kind of having too big of a head and then being too headstrong, so you have to be confident yet malleable.
What's the mixed, gender-wise, is it?
Yeah, it's gotten a lot better. So the first year is about, we're 3.5 years old. It was about 25% the first year. We did some events and programming, got it up to about a third. And then this year we had what's called a residency program. The students that are incubating a startup at the garage was 50-50 male and female student founders.
Now, you look extremely young for all the experience you've had. Do you occasionally go undercover as a student? I'm one of you people.
I dress pretty casually at work in jeans and sometimes like Allbirds shoes. And it's usually the parents that come in and say, hey, are you a graduate student?
Do you know where the teacher is?
And I love it.
Yeah, of course. Mary Sandberg asked you about the gender split on this. Yeah. Do women get a fair shake in tech?
It's an evolving area of improvement.
Fast enough?
No, but I think that it really can start at the university level, which is what I'm taking a big crack at. What I found is that the women lack the confidence. They think that they need more skills, more classes, more experience before they can really take the plunge. And we're trying to show them that, you know, you don't. You just need to believe in yourself and have people to support you.
That's important to hear. The evolution of Silicon Valley is sort of something you don't see in other businesses, but then again, maybe it does repeat because the money that's needed to do these startups, to create something like Google even, generally comes from old school money. You know, it's guys that have had success in business and women have success in families, whatever. Is that still a hindrance? You got to have the money to do it, but does it slow things down?
You do, but I think that's changing. So when one of the startups I worked at was called Polyvore. Jessica Lee, Polyvore. Who's one of the, she's the first female partner at Sequoia Capital. So she was CEO of that company, is now first female partner there. Katrina Lake just took Stitch Fix to an IPO, I think, last year. So
Stitch Fix, they'll never amount to anything.
Now that, these are women that I knew and watched their whole journey from kind of, you know, startup to big success.
But there is some VC bias of, and the opening bell, Steve Rosanich and I used to talk to a lot of people of that the female funded startups was a much smaller portion than the male funded, because sometimes those people with the money, they want their nobody's going to want to do a shopping app. You know,
I think now that there are those women that are angel investing and are in leadership roles in venture capital firms, that gives them some ability to look at those ideas that maybe the guys couldn't see. I myself am a venture partner at Chicago Ventures. It's all male partners right now, but I think I can bring kind of a lens that's maybe different from the traditional VC.
What drew you to tech?
I love building new things. I think that's what's also attracted me to the garage. It was a new space and a white space opportunity to build something that was unique. And I really enjoy that process of bringing new things into this world. It's why I wanted to be in tech. It's why I studied computer science and why I do what I do today.
And creative thinkers such as yourself, and hopefully the rest of us, at least in this business, that doesn't get shut off. When you're teaching other kids, these ideas must pop into your head. You're probably inspired by these kids in a lot of ways. Can you see yourself doing this for a long time, or are there other ideas are percolating that you want to chase?
I do. It's like every time I think I'm done with the garage, I see another opportunity, another way we can improve our program. We're expanding to the Chicago campus right now. We have our law school and our med students. Some of our evening and weekend Kellogg students are on the Chicago campus, so we'll be opening a small satellite here. We have a space out in San Francisco looking to involve. We have a lot of alums that work out in the Valley and that do tech, so looking to get them more involved as well. So I see nothing but opportunity.
Dave and I have an idea we wanted to pitch you. We're a little older. We might be out of touch. It's called faxing. I don't know if you're familiar with it. Dave?
I think it's a sure hit.
I think if the mixtape can come back.
I'm glad you mentioned mixtapes because that's part of our company. It's great to meet you. And okay. Congratulations on all of your success. If folks are listening, parents or grandparents who have kids that are going to be incoming freshmen at Northwestern, is it obvious how to get in touch with you guys?
You know, we're a little hidden. We're in the North Parking Garage on the second floor. We're open Monday to Friday, 9 to 5 for everybody, so come stop by.
I love the idea that you're in a parking garage.
Yeah, and I park in that garage a lot, and I've always, I look in there as we go by on the elevator, and I ride the elevator with a lot of the students, and I always feel immediately so much dumber being on the elevator with these kids.
Let me tell you something right now. You could take your Prodigy desktop or your Commodore, bring it in there with your 2.8 modem, and you'd be welcomed. You could be the before picture.
I'm going to do that. That okay, Melissa?
Stop by anytime.
Nice to see you. Congratulations on all the success, and I hope you love Chicago.
I do. This is a great city.
Won't be long. Winter will be over.
I can't wait.
Yeah, same here. 652, that's your signature bank. Download on Chicago Business.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, 656 now. John DeCoste is here. John, how have you been?
Good, very good.
John, do you know how to operate your microphone?
Mike, thanks.
He just talked into thin air.
That's good. Is Mary here today? Did Mary make it in? I've been good.
We have an idea for the show today. It's a brand new game, and Dave, I think you'll enjoy it because you're a Northwestern graduate. It's the Miss Spelling Bee.
The Miss Spelling Bee?
The Miss Spelling Bee. You know, there's the old Spelling Bee concept's gone on forever. You know, you got a bunch of kids, and they're super smart. They know how to spell their fancy words. Right. The Miss Spelling Bee, I think, is more representative of the rest of us. And that is, John will give us words that are very difficult to spell, and we will fail again and again and again. He will get easier words as each round goes on, and eventually one of us will spell a word correctly and therefore win the misspelling bee.
What happens if you inadvertently spell it correctly?
Well, not inadvertently. If you can spell any of the super hard words correctly right away, you win the misspelling
bee. Oh, we're supposed to try then.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I like how you act like that wouldn't be a try.
Well, I thought we were supposed to try to misspell.
No.
Yeah, that is how it sounded.
It did. Oh.
Well, maybe if you two would listen to the rules of this game that goes back centuries.
I think that rules need to be worked on.
They are both probably good spellers, so they're thinking no matter how difficult the word, they can get it correct.
I like how cocky they are.
I know, but now, like, in my case, there's a word that I misspell all the time that I use all the time, and it drives me nuts. Exercise. For some reason, when I type it into my...
You don't put both C's and three X's in it the way it's supposed to be?
Yeah, I don't know why it doesn't come up. Yeah. It doesn't... So I probably am going to be knocked out early.
I have that problem with cinnamon.
Cinnamon? Oh, cinnamon is a toughie. Oh,
yeah, the silent P gets in cinnamon.
When I put that on the grocery list, Mayor, I'll just put S-I-N or C-I-N. Like, I have that same problem, too.
S-I-N.
Is it two N's? Is
it one? I think Mary's not going to... This is going to be a tough one. This is going to be a tough one for both of you.
Yeah. Again, we'll go and we're not doing this now. We're setting this up now because we've got to get the lights right. John will be the host of the Miss Spelling Bee next hour. As a matter of fact, our friend Bridget Gaynor is going to be here. And
I bet she's a good speller.
We'll find out, won't we?
Yeah.
So stand by, and you'll have a chance to play as well. Because, you know, we share like that. At 6:58, the stories that matter with Steve Grzanich coming up in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
It's National Margarita Day, and if you're having one already, I suggest you call for help. In the meantime, tonight's Margarita Night. No, it's National Margarita Night. No, it's Margaritaville Night.
Margaritaville Night.
At the United Center. And, Sandberg, why don't we give away, in honor of that, some Hawks convention passes.
Yeah.
And then remind people, if they're going tonight, what time they need to get here.
Okay. There. Well, Dave knows. The game is at 6:30. Atrium opens at 4 for all the festivities. And we are going to give a pair of passes to the 2019 Blackhawks Convention presented by Magellan Corporation. Passes are on sale now for the 12th annual convention. It takes place at the Hilton Chicago this July 26th through the 28th. Highlights include, Steve, player autograph and photo sessions.
Okay.
Q&A panel.
Right.
What's a Q&A panel?
Well, that'd be your question and answer.
Exhibits, interactive games, and much more. Visit Blackhawks.com for more info. And here's your question.
Well, I was going to say two other things, Dave. You might not be aware that's been added this year is a swimsuit competition and one question to each player. Some of those involving how do you change the world to be a better place.
Oh, like no, that's a beauty pageant. That's
what?
A beauty pageant.
Oh, that must be different.
That is not a Hawks convention.
I'm sorry, I got that wrong.
In 2011, the largest margarita ever was made. What city did it happen? Multiple choice. A, Boston. B, Las Vegas. C, Los Angeles. D, Minneapolis.
All right, so let's break this down. Boston, there's a lot of drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Las Vegas, there's a lot of drinking to forget about the money you lost gambling.
Mm-hmm.
Minneapolis. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of drinking just forgetting that you want to forget you're in the Minneapolis.
In the winter.
Mm-hmm. In L.A.?
L.A., no, you don't want to drink in L.A. No. I would eliminate L.A. Well, listen, why don't we let the listener actually try to win the passes? 312-981-7200, first correct caller is the winner. Our friend Bridget Gaynor's here. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Nice to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Pride of the Cook County Board and Aon and all the stuff you have going on.
How's
How's the family?
They're okay. They're okay. You know, they're fine. They're good.
Let's not oversell them.
Well, you know, they all wake up in the morning and cheerful and want to ask me how my day was. And
right. Their first concern.
Have a lot of conversation.
Their first concern is, how are you doing?
How are you doing? Are you going to drive me? Where's my breakfast? I can't find my backpack.
Yeah. Right. Right. It's nice to be remembered.
But by the way, how are you? Are you good?
Well, listen, the last thing I want to do when you come in here for a break, have a little fun, is talk about politics. So let's talk about politics.
Let's talk about politics.
The mayor's race. We're coming down to the wire.
Yeah.
Is there a clear favorite?
Well, look, the fact that the top two, no one's getting 50%, which we have all known.
I wonder if anybody's going to get 20%.
Yeah, right, exactly. Does anyone break double digits? I kind of looks like it's going to be Tony and Bill Daley that get past the post, but who knows? You know, we could be surprised. But that looks like it's where it's going to end
up. Is that your prediction, Bridget? Because I'm keeping track of people on the
prediction.
Show.
That's
okay,
my prediction.
Okay, so hang on.
You and I have the same prediction. Now, I will say this. I hear a lot of people who are going, I can't believe how you're discounting Chicago voters by saying they're just going to vote for Bill Daley because his name's Daley. That's not what I'm saying.
No.
What I'm saying is that Bill Daley has the qualifications and the name. The name doesn't hurt him. It's not like he's going to change his name to Bill Schimmelwitz. And I don't think there's a lot of people wandering around are going to walk in and go, you know, I just never liked the full scope of the Daley administrations previously. You either liked them or you didn't, and this city is great for a number of reasons, but you can't completely discount the work that either Daley did.
No, I mean, look, there's a reason there's a phrase that says the devil you know is, you know, I mean, the better than the one you don't. Maybe people are looking for certainty. So, look, people vote for lots of reasons. So sometimes it's because someone who represents their values. Sometimes it's because they hate the other guy more. And maybe that's where we're going to end up now. So
I have a Jeb Bush theory.
Okay.
And you know Bill Daley. I don't. My Jeb Bush theory is this, that if Jeb Bush was more competitive, if Jeb Bush had approached his presidential race like, well, I'm not going to be the Bush that doesn't get the gig, he might have succeeded. Does Bill Daley have that in him where he doesn't want to be the Daley that doesn't win?
Well, look, I think if you compare the Jeb Bush primary, where he kind of acted like, please throw the pedals at my feet so I can walk over them, yes. And I am the fait accompli. You know, clearly, I think there's a little pressure. I think the pressure comes as much from the fact that he didn't complete the last race for governor. So he absolutely wasn't able to drop out or ever, you know, I mean, he'd have to move. And so I think the idea was, I'm in it. I can't move. I can't leave. I've got to execute. And the way that everything rolled out with Ed Burke and Danny Solis, it damaged those other candidates. And actually, for someone who's been involved in politics and Southwest Side and Irish, he wasn't really touched by the Burke stuff. So that was a huge advantage for him.
The campaign itself has been noteworthy for stumbles. Been a lot
you mean
of
the collective campaign?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I can't really point at anybody that's really ran a campaign that's strong. The one person that seems to be most on message is Willie Wilson.
So I don't know if you guys saw the debate the other night on Channel 11. Every single time something came up with taxes, he's like, nope, not doing it. Doesn't waver, totally consistent the whole time. And you know, look, there's something charming about him. You know, he has a great personal story, and he represents a completely different point of view than the typical politician. You know, he doesn't care if he wins or not. He wants to win.
Right, sure.
Doesn't care. I mean, the other day when they asked each of the candidates, who would you vote for, which is one of those setup questions, because they all by this time hate each other's guts, so it's like forces you to say something nice. He's like, I'd change my name and vote for myself again. So it's like, you know,
I mean,
he's charming, and I think I don't think he adds comic relief. I think he adds a little bit of authenticity to the mix, and that's not a bad thing.
I've said this before, and I mean this with all sincerity. Yeah. I like him very much. When he was in here, I liked him very much. If he didn't have the communications problem that he has, I think he'd be a very serious threat to Daley, to Preckwinkle, to both of them.
I think that's possible. You know, I mean, look, everyone's always looking for who is going to be the black candidate that's going to be able to get the old Washington coalition was black voters on the South and West Side and then progressives on the lakefront. I think that Toni Preckwinkle is going to get a lot of the progressives and a lot of the North Side. And I also think she'll get a lot of the African-American vote. So I think she'll probably come in first and then, you know, with Daley rounding up the number two position. And then, you know, we'll take it from there.
Well, you know, you're my friend, so I can ask you this.
Yeah.
Any regrets in you're not running?
No, none at all, I have to say.
Because this is a train wreck.
Because you don't want to be one of
14. Not because it's a train wreck. I mean, look, there was a lot of reasons, but no, I don't regret it. Not even for a second.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
That's the answer I wanted to hear.
That's good. Steve, can we get our winner?
We can go over my other regrets of life, like some other time.
You want to do it off the air? Off the air or on?
Yeah, either way.
Either way works?
Over some drinks.
Okay,
for the margaritas.
Works.
When we have that largest margarita, we'll talk about it.
Candace is here from Chicago Ridge. Candace.
Good morning.
So, Candace, what city was the largest margarita ever made in 2011?
Would it be Las Vegas?
Ding, ding, ding!
That is correct. The Flamingo Hotel's Margarita Casino in Las Vegas holds the honor of making the largest margarita in the world. The enormous drink was 8,500 gallons and served in a 17-foot-tall tank. It took 60 people 300 hours to create.
Did they salt the rim?
The drink called the Lucky Rita was created to celebrate the opening of the casino in 2011.
Wow.
A little Lucky Rita. Wow.
Congratulations. You have won these Hawks convention passes.
I know. Thank you to Magellan Company.
I thought you were going to say it was taking 60 people to drink it.
Oh, yeah.
I thought,
no,
wow, that was
impressive. Thanks for listening.
I have no consumption information. I will have to research that further.
It's probably still there. It's like a pool now.
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I want to thank Connie and everybody at the Rush Copley HealthPlex. My brother Mickey's visiting from New York for about a month. He is a member of a health club for the first time in his life, thanks to Connie and everybody there. So that's pretty cool.
I saw the card. You know,
he's showing off the card. He's all proud.
We call him Mickey, but his name is Michael. I didn't even know that.
Yes. Michael Dean.
Michael Dean and Stephen Lee. Aren't you guys the cutest?
Michael Dean and Stephen Lee. It sounds like a bad serial killer film.
Or like a new, what was that show? Rebel, the Confederate show where they used to ride over on the other side of the car.
Yeah,
does sound like two
Dukes of Hazzard. Dukes of Hazzard.
No, but it sounds like two brothers in the Civil War.
Exactly. Yeah.
Michael Dean and Stephen Lee. Coach Colleton coming up in a little bit from your Blackhawks. Before we get to any of that, we always do the most valuable person on the planet. You know, you've been a previous winner, Bridget Gaynor, of the best guest on the show.
So we know what the bar is at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you've never been an MVPP, so I feel like you need to get out there and maybe, you know.
I'm not sure if you're eligible once you've been the best guest.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Eliminated?
I'll have to check the rule book.
Bylaws. Joining us now is Hannah Nolan. Good morning to you, Hannah Nolan.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being here, and thanks for doing what you do every day. Hannah is a diverse learners teacher with Chicago Public Schools. What does that mean?
So I work primarily with students with special needs, so learning disabilities, ADHD, a variety of challenges, in both the regular classroom and in a separate setting.
So these are folks that have considerable extra hurdles to get over and some that are struggling on a lesser level. How do you make that all work?
It's a lot about meeting the students where they are. So my job is mostly about relationships, getting to know my students very well, and then giving them the supports that they need to be more autonomous, more self-directed, more motivated. And it's really a partnership. So I work very closely with my colleagues, with the students' families, with the social worker and other supporters in the school. So, we work together to get those resources to the students that they need.
Congratulations on the award. What's the criteria other than the fact that you're swell?
Thanks. So it's from the Chicago Foundation for Education, which is an organization I've worked closely with over the past several years. They provide a lot of amazing programs for teachers to help them develop their own practice. And so because I've been involved in several of their flagship programs and then was nominated by two of my colleagues and then selected among a pool of candidates for my commitment to developing my practice, for my commitment to collaborating with other teachers, I guess that's why they picked me.
So, Hannah, I know it's Hannah Nolan Spoon. I don't want to lose your second half of your hyphen there. You did not get into...
It's Spone.
Spone.
Hannah Nolan Spone.
That has a nice ring to it. Didn't get into, working with this, the diverse learners for all the accolades. Were you surprised when they chose you?
Yeah, I was shocked. I was actually in a meeting with my boss. My principal and I were having my annual review.
Nice timing. In the middle of your review, you get this big award? Look at you.
My colleague walked in and said, oh, there's a former student here to see you. And I was like, oh, is it Rodrigo? Because I was really excited to see this kid who graduated last year. No, it wasn't him. It was 25 people walking into the room, including my entire family, coworkers, a bunch of my students.
That's a cool way to do it.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Now, what I wish was going on is right in the middle of that, your superintendent, whoever was going over your review, would be going, everything's perfect, but I do want to talk to you about one thing. And then they march the award in.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Very cool story.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for what you do every day. My daughter is a behavioral analyst who works with kids with autism every day. And I know, and I have a brother with special needs, and I know the kind of patience it takes. And the world's a better place because of people like you. So I appreciate the work you do.
Thank you so much. I feel called to do this work and to support my kids to make make the best choices that they can for themselves and really advocate for themselves.
And I don't know when they started using the category diverse learning, but I think it's the greatest shift because it just is learning differently. Yeah. And that is so inclusive of
you know, just things beyond what they used to kind of categorize people.
Sure.
So it has to be, I would think, then when you're as a kid who's, which, you know, having these diversities, you just feel like you're a part of a nice group.
Well, if you're going to be labeled as something that's a positive.
Right.
And diverse learning is a positive.
And, I, you know what, most of these kids that learn differently, they are better, smarter, you know, than all of us that are able to go standard.
Anybody that works with folks that have that extra hurdle to get over, you get 10 times from them what you ever give to them.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah, and I think we really try to remove the stigma. So, you know, helping our kids know what their disability is, getting them involved in their own educational planning, and then helping them understand that there's a difference, and that's not necessarily a lack, right? We all have our strengths and weaknesses in different areas. And so when you know what you need to learn best, you can advocate for that. You can ask for that. And I always think about my kids going to college where there's not going to be a teacher there who says, hey, this kid needs extra time on their test. You've got to walk into the ADA office yourself and self-identify and say, these are the accommodations I need to be successful. So my goal really with my middle schoolers is to get them ready so they can start practicing that skill in high school. So by the time they get to college, they can really do it for themselves confidently. Yeah.
That's great. Even in the language you're using with the LG, you know, with the identifying of gender and things like that, it's inclusive for everybody.
Yes.
What a crazy, crazy idea. By the way, yeah, you got that nice award, and that's a big deal. But you know what they didn't give you? A Lou Malnati's pizza and an Apt gift card, and you win both.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's from LouMalnati's.com and ABT.com. As for my friend Steve Shapiro. Thank you, Hannah.
Thank you so much.
That's Hannah Nolan Spone?
Yes, like cone.
Not my first day.
But she said it better. Hannah Nolan Spone.
Hannah Nolan Spone. Congratulations. That's a cool story.
Yeah.
So Bridget Gaynor's here. Bridget, listen, I don't know that there's anything any of us can add to this Jussie Smollett story, but any thoughts?
So a couple thoughts. One is, you know, it reminded me, Mike Royko wrote an article, God, you know, obviously a really long time ago, where he talks about it opens up and he says, look, you can't wake up and decide to be a lawyer. Or you can't wake up one day and say, you know, I'm going to be a doctor. You need to train. You need to apprentice. You need to learn the skills. You also can't wake up and say, like, today I'd like to be a criminal. Today I'd like to break the law. He's like, you need to learn from people who are better at the job. You need to spend some time picking up the skills. So you want to say, like, the fascinating things, and we're talking about this over dinner, and not that you want to say, okay, the lying isn't bad, but you do want to walk through and say, why involve other people who have no, you're not, they're not related to you.
Right.
They're not on your payrolls.
Right.
They have no incentive. You can only imagine once the specter of being arrested came to these two other guys, they were like, yeah I'm out. Yeah, he did it all.
Yeah.
Then they're on the video buying ropes and masks and the whole thing.
Who hasn't walked into the Crafty Beaver to buy rope and gasoline?
For sure. All at the same time.
Yeah, and bleach.
And so you want to say, if you were going to think this thing through,
mm-hmm.
I don't hit your own self in the face and then just have no one around. And then at least there's the specter of doubt. I just think, you know, he might have thought that he was much smarter than the police. You're like, they do kind of do this for a living.
I think
figure out when people are lying.
I think that's the key point right there. The fact that this is someone who thinks he's smarter than everybody.
Yeah.
And he has now changed his world. He has. No one else.
No.
He has changed his world in nothing but negative ways. Now, personally, look, I could rail on how stupid he is all day, and Lord knows I'd like to. But I hope he gets help. I think the guy has got such significant issues that he needs to get help, and he needs to get it immediately. So, and I feel for the cast of Empire, because this is a member of their family.
You know, and I was just telling you, Rich Daniels is a good friend. He's the head of the Musicians Union here, and he's the musical director at Empire. And he said they're all totally shocked, having a terrible time. And this is a group of people. They've come to the Juvenile Detention Center. We've brought, you know, people from Juvenile
Cole's
group.
They're all over town.
They're always doing great things for the city, and it's such a shame. And hopefully they don't bear the brunt of that.
We'll come back in a second with your headlines. We're going to play the misspelling bee in just a few minutes. Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It's 7:42. Steve Cochran Show continues. Fridays are Bridget Gaynor's. I don't know what your schedule is. Are you going to hang out with us to talk the Oscars?
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk Oscars for sure.
Because Dean will be on talking about the Oscars here in a little bit. Right now, it's the Jeremy Colleton Show, sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint, and the coach is here. You know what I was really impressed with, Coach?
Tell me.
You. You. I'm very impressed with you. Because you could have... You could, after last Saturday night, you could have, you know, thrown a tantrum. You could have said, what are you guys doing? We win 8. Now this, and the same cool, calm, collected Colleton, and look at the results. You went out and got a game you had to win.
Well, they're not exactly how we're drawing them up right now, but to the credit of our players, they're finding a way. We're a pretty resilient bunch, and I think we can make it a little easier on ourselves, but they're coming through. So,
when you look at a team that's on a hot streak, as you guys have been, winning, what is it now, 9 of the last 10 of 12 now, how much easier is it to kind of get guys to look at the big picture when you're winning these individual battles along the way? How much easier is it for you to drive your points home?
Yeah, it's always easier to teach when you're winning. When they get positive reinforcement from some of the things we're trying to do as a team, then you start building, and we know we got a lot of work to do still. So it's important that they're receptive to, you know, sort of the things we think we need to do to have more team success. And I think we're getting that.
You know, Kaner is at a point with the season he's having where he's got to be getting a lot of double teams, got to be getting a lot of extra pressure, which creates opportunities for other guys. Does that make you look at the lines differently?
It probably makes me look at the lines and think we got to keep it the way it is, because having Taser on that line, if they're going to pay too much attention to Patty, then he's going to have more space. And, you know, also with Strome and DeBrincat, that line playing as they have, you know, if teams are going to load up defensively against Kaner, then, you know, those other guys are coming through for us. So I think that's important to have that balance within the group. And I think one thing you've seen over the years is Patrick Kane's going to find a way to get it done anyway, regardless of the attention you put on him.
And the thing about him at his age, Dave Kaner, to still be active.
Yeah, right. I was reading an article about Kane, which is kind of interesting, because we have this image that these guys spend the off season in the weight room getting stronger.
You talking about me or Kane?
Well, Steve, obviously, okay, but also Kane. And then he was saying he really didn't lift weights last offseason. It was more about working on ways to be more flexible and
agility
and that sort of thing. Is that something you think more guys are going to now, Jeremy, or is this something that just it kind of worked for him?
Yeah, I think the game has changed over the past 10 years, but even over the past 5 years, where it's not, you still need to be strong, but it's more like functional strength and being agile and flexible and quick, because it's a quickness game, it's a speed game. And I think most guys have changed the way they're training now, and certainly he's working for him, whatever he's doing.
I remember a couple years ago when Jonathan Toews finally joined like Twitter and Instagram or whatever, he had a video of him doing the Tabata training, that quick muscle twitch stuff, you know, there where you hold a bar real quick and drop it or whatever. Yeah, I think that's been happening the last couple years. And Jonathan Toews is one of those. I know we keep talking about Patrick Kane's year, but his year is pretty good.
Yeah, he's been great. Huge part of our success. I think he's on pace for career high in points, but he's also, you know, still carrying a big load away from the puck, and those guys obviously deserve a ton of credit for us playing better lately, and now we're in a mix. And you know, when you look at the lineup and you look at the team we have, it makes you feel pretty confident that we've got guys who've been through it before, and been through the wars, and know how to win.
Richie Gainer, when was the last time you were at a Blackhawks game?
It has been a while.
All right, we got to get you to a game.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, we absolutely have to get you.
You know,
it
would be a good game to go to tonight, Margaritaville night here at the United Center.
Well, I was thinking too, though, as a Southside girl, you may get caught up in the action and go right over the glass and right in and start swinging.
Well, you know me well.
So you don't want to mess with.
That's why I sit further back when I do go.
Yes.
Because then if I jump into the crowd, I'm not going right into the ice.
Can't rest.
I got a buffer of other bodies.
Now, Jeremy, I know you don't drink during the game, obviously, but I'm pretty sure he doesn't.
I mean,
drink.
In December, you may have been.
Since it's a Margaritaville night, what is your preferred adult beverage?
I like a margarita. I can't lie, but I wouldn't say I'm I'm married to anyone.
Oh, good. You're open-minded.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Jimmy Buffett promo for Margaritaville Night?
No, I have not. But I like Jimmy Buffett. You know, he's kind of, I'm a country guy. He's dabbled in the country.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with his work, so I'm sure it'll be a fun night.
Now, Jimmy is 70, but he plays much younger. And he's in a helmet and Blackhawk sweater, and he does a Caner goal celebration that's frankly better than Caner's. So I recommend you no longer worry about planning for tonight's game, and you immediately see that and consider him as a late veteran add-on.
Okay. Well, we need all the help we can get. So,
Dave, last word.
Well, right now, the way the standings stack up this morning, 1 point out of it. I know your mantra throughout has been don't get too high, don't get too low, keeping things at an even keel.
Well, you hear Coach. Who could be more zen than Coach?
Right. But here you are playing one of the teams that you're battling for playoff position here. Do you look at this game? I mean, you've got another game Sunday. You got another game right after that. Do you look at this game as holding more significance because you're playing one of those teams that you're battling to get into that playoff spot?
It's a big game, no question. Those head to head, you know, in division, and you know, certainly a team that we're fighting for the, you know, those spots against. You can't get around it. It's a big one, but I think it's also. Whether we win, if we win, doesn't mean we're in, and if we lose, doesn't mean we're out. It's just
it's a great way of looking at it.
Keep carrying on, but it's a fun game to be in. It'll feel like a playoff game, and those when we look from December, when we looked at the schedule, you know, to be in this position is it's rewarding for the guys.
You know, because you're so level and level sounding, do you ever like get butterflies? Do you ever like get? Are you an inner volcano? When are you tense, Jeremy Colleton?
No, I definitely get nervous or excited, but I think that's positive. I always thought as a player and as a coach, when you didn't have that feeling, then you should worry. You know, you gotta have that little bit of nervous energy, and you can feed off that.
Well, I like our chances, and I thought the way you put it is great. Look, we're not in if we win, we're not out if we lose. So why don't we just make it easy? Why don't we win?
Sounds great. It's a great plan. Tell the guys.
The Jeremy Colleton Show, sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. Good luck, Coach.
Thanks very much. Have a great morning.
See ya. Yeah,
he mentioned liking Jimmy Buffett and his dabbling in country music. I, too, am a country music fan, and one of my favorite Jimmy Buffett country songs is Trip Around the Sun. It's he and Martina McBride. Yeah. I hear you saying happy birthday.
You'll really sing good. The full thing for us?
I will.
Okay.
I can sing it all. But people should look it up. It's a good birthday song, too.
We're going to talk about the Oscars coming up in a second. John DeCoste, it's time to play the misspelling bee. 312-981-7200. If you really suck at spelling, you'd be perfect for this. Because we're all going to get the words wrong until somebody eventually gets one right. And if this takes till noon, we'll just take over Bill and Wendy's show. 312-981-7200 is the number. And can we all agree before we move on? I think Coach Colleton's really warming to me. Could you tell by the tone of his voice?
Mm-hmm. I think your suggestion that he's having a margarita during the game, I don't think he really embraced that idea.
I don't know. I just heard something between the lines. John, did you?
Yeah, he just texted me.
Did he say lose the number?
He was like, we're having lunch today, but he was like, don't.
You and Gallatin?
Yeah.
Okay.
He said, don't tell Steve we're having lunch.
Yes.
Talking strategy for tonight.
Yes. Yes, Dave.
He could be a voiceover actor for hockey coach, though.
Yeah, right.
Because his voice is right out of central casting for hockey coach. Little Canadian, not too much. It was,
Every Canadian player can do an impression of every Canadian player because every Canadian player sounds like every Canadian player. They just do. And Caner, you know when you're around people with an accent, you start to pick up that accent? Mm-hmm. Caner's from Buffalo.
Right.
No.
Caner now sounds like he's from Saskatchewan.
Yeah, but that's on the border.
Yeah, that's like what you said, though, the other day with Peppa the Pig. Little kids watching Peppa are starting to do British accents.
That's
so
right.
It's contagious.
Yeah, little kids now
getting
tiny British accents.
There's a video of Brent Seabrook getting the thing he wanted most for Christmas when he was a kid, and his mother, he opened it up, and he goes, "Well, that's really good."
The misspelling bee. It's next. Win stuff after this. All right, it's time now for the misspelling bee. We're a little tight on time, John, as always. John DeCoste is here, musical director of the program, a delightful human being. John, you're going to give us a word, and we're going to go around the room.
Okay.
We'll start with Sandberg. And we'll go around the room, and you have to spell it correctly. If you spell it correctly, you win. If you misspell it, you lose, and we have some callers standing by.
Can we Google it?
You cannot Google it.
I'm a very poor speller.
All right, let's go with word number one.
Word number one, sesquipedalian.
Sesquipedalian.
That was close.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Yes, I'm using way too long of a sesquipedalian for this particular game.
Sesquipedalian.
I think if you can't pronounce it, it's already a buzzer.
S-E-S-Q-U-L-O-P-I-D-A-E-N. Sesquipedalian.
That's incorrect.
That is incorrect. I was waiting for my Joe
Your buzzer.
Buzzer.
Apparently, our buzzer's on the fridge. All right, give Bridget one.
I think he's reading. I can't give her the same one.
I thought we were doing the same word.
Yeah, you just said the same word. You're changing.
I'm making these rules up as I go along.
Clearly.
All right, sesquipedalian.
Sesquipedalian.
Okay, S E S Q U I P U D L I A N.
Wow. No. But that was pretty good.
Mary Vanderbilt, take a shot.
C-E-S-Q-U-I-P-E-D-I-L-I-A-N.
Yeah, stick to traffic. Anyways, who's next?
Hey!
Dave.
S-E-S-Q-U-A-P-A-D-I-L-I-A-N. Why are you laughing?
How many L's did you have in there?
Two L's.
Is that incorrect?
The silent, they're silent L's.
Steve Grzanich, our last shot.
Sorry, okay.
That was how I was going to spell it. So now, based on his misspelling, I'm going to try S-E-S-Q-U-I-P-E-D-A-L-I-A-N.
No.
Not close?
Damn.
No.
All right, for Peggy, Ray, and Joe holding on, since we don't have time to jump to the phones, they all win.
Okay.
They'll win Lou Malnati's pizza and or an app gift card. Joe will take care of that. I will take the last shot.
Okay.
Sesquipedalian. S-E-S-Q-U-I-P-E-D-I-L-I-A-N. Sesquipedalian.
One more time?
Like I can repeat it. S-E-S-Q-U-I. Never mind. We're back with the headlines next.
What's the correct
news? Yeah, I need to
from the North. Do you mind if I actually continue with the show and then we'll give it to you? The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next. Sometimes a little bit of calm on a Friday morning is good for you. So, did I miss the opening theme? Hold on. Apparently, I turned off something. You know what? We'll figure it out. Let me go live to Dean. Dean.
I can sing it. Coming your Hollywood. Way. Yeah. LA.
Dean Richards. Let's just run a test. Joe, let's just run a test. Hit some music for me. Yeah, that was me. That was totally me. Okay. Let's go live now to Dean Richards and let's talk Oscars. Hi, buddy.
Good morning.
They call this moron entertainment for a reason.
Isn't this ironic that the Oscars are this weekend, yet I was in L.A. yesterday and will not be there for the Oscars, thank goodness.
You know what you have? You have show business dyslexia.
I do have show business dyslexia. Have I ever mentioned that being there is about one of the worst things in the world that could happen to a person?
I have been on the Oscars red carpet one time, and it was miserable.
It's awful. It's crowded. It's hectic. It's violent.
Right. And, it was a little embarrassing for me because I kept saying, Charo! Charo! Look at me, Charo! You know?
And that was to Jennifer Aniston.
Dean, do you ever have to do that? Like, scream names?
To try to get their attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do?
Pia Zadora! Pia! Pia!
They should know who Dean Richards is.
Yeah, they absolutely should.
They should walk up to Dean.
They want to get past that red carpet as quickly as possible.
Sure.
So your only hope is you shout out and, you know, maybe they'll glance over to you and remember that, you know, hopefully
they know you.
They know who you are.
Well, the Jennifer Aniston thing's awkward for me because of our relationship, our past relationship.
Sure. Divorce, so, since the divorce, it's awkward.
I look the other way, generally speaking.
Yeah.
So let's jump in. Who's going to win Best Director?
I believe that that will be one Mr. Alfonso Cuarón for his movie Roma that Steve still hasn't seen.
All right, I have not.
Do you have any intention of seeing it? You think you're going to try to squeeze
it? I will see it. I will see it. I don't know. Now, it's the other thing. I don't know that I'll see it before Sunday. So hold on one sec. Hey, kids. Hey, kids. Kids. Just a little quiet. You can talk. Just a little calmer.
We have some friends in the studio, Dean.
Including, I don't want to say he's here yet, but Brian Bickle's here, and I haven't seen him in forever. He looks great. So we'll talk to Brian here in a second as well. Plus, our Friday friend.
I thought that was here. That's unusual that the background noise is there.
Yeah, because usually they start making it there. They actually have people who wander behind Dean exactly at 8:10.
Right. Nobody's around me in the newsroom when I do this until I do this segment. Then everybody comes back here and wants to share their opinion about Jussie Smollett.
All right, Bridget Gaynor, put those headphones on. We want you in on this Oscars talk.
Yep.
Best actress. Best supporting actor.
My pick or
yes, yours?
I believe it will be Mahershala Ali for Green Book.
I love Green Book. Did you see Green Book?
Loved it.
So good.
I thought the Viggo Mortensen character was a little hammy on the whole kind of working class affect, but I thought it was great and charming, and the fact that it was a true story made it so much better. I thought it was great.
I think that those two roles, Viggo Mortensen and Mahershala Ali, were pretty equal. I don't know how you call one role and one supporting role, but I guess they did it just to maximize, you know, winning awards. Viggo Mortensen's not going to win Best Actor, but he was as leading or as supporting as Mahershala Ali was.
All right,
I think Mahershala Ali's won every awards that come up so far, and he'll continue to do that.
He was great. Best Supporting Actress,
I believe, will be Regina King for If Beale Street Could Talk.
I got to write that down. Is that the one that's black and white and in with the subtitles?
No, Roma.
Oh, that's Roma.
It's the one in New York. I think Justin, they talked to him on the Download podcast, the director of that.
Yeah, Dean is trying to get all movies to have subtitles now.
I think you're thinking of If Beale Street Could Talk in black and white and in Spanish. That's a completely different movie. She's up against Amy Adams, Marina Di Travera, who is from Roma.
Don't you swear at me.
Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz from The Favorite. All good performances, but Regina King is another that's just been winning everything.
All right, how about Best Actor?
I believe will be Rami Malek.
Yeah, I think you're right.
He's great.
Rami Malek.
Have you seen all these movies, Bridget Gaynor?
I haven't seen Roma, mostly because I feel like it's going to be too depressing, so I don't really want to see it. But
we're doing a show field trip at 10.
Okay,
we're
going
to go watch it, and we're going to read it to each other.
I've seen it already.
I don't think it's depressing. Mary, do you think it's depressing?
No, I wasn't depressed.
It's just kind of uneventful. Yeah, it's as though he took a slice of his childhood, which is what this movie is based on, him growing up, and put it in the movie. There's nothing remarkable, really, about it. It's beautifully shot.
Well, yeah, for 15 minutes, you watch water rolling down a driveway. It's like, okay...
dog poop in a driveway.
Yeah, it's like, okay, how long
heavy
is this
on the dog
last?
Poop in this movie for some for some reason.
Now, did he literally spell out dog poop, or can I figure that out myself?
You have to think about it. Yeah,
literally spelt out.
All right, best actor.
I believe will be Rami Malek.
Oh, we just said. I'm sorry. Best actress.
Yeah, best actress. I believe will be Glenn Close.
Glenn Close.
Wow. Glenn Close.
Do you think
in
she
the
gets
wife.
That because she still haunts our dreams from the whole boiling rabbit thing?
We thought she was dead in the tub.
Oh,
exactly. Does that mean like you've hung around in people's nightmares for 25 years, so you're just getting it?
I think that's part of it. I think part of this is a career achievement. She's been nominated so many times and has never won. But she is really great, really, really great in The Wife. I think very deservedly so. And she's up against Olivia Colman in Favorite, Lady Gaga in Star Is Born, Melissa McCarthy in Can You Ever Forgive Me, and Yalitza Aparicio from Steve's Favorite, Roma.
But don't you guys... I mean, the thing about Melissa McCarthy... First of all, I saw Can You Forgive Me, and... Not she was great, but she plays such a huge range of characters.
Yeah.
I mean, she plays someone who's totally straight in this, kind of a little depressing and down, whatever.
Right.
Totally believable. And then she's hilarious and completely different in all
she's
these other roles.
Launch of the air and falling off a boat and smacking a car.
Right. And she writes
and run
half
over.
The stuff.
Yeah, she's great.
I love Melissa McCarthy. Yeah.
And when Glenn Close wins, will she take her Oscar statuette, which, by the way, is fairly heavy. I think it weighs about 6 pounds, and go into the audience and beat Michael Douglas to death just to bring it full circle?
For some excitement on this show, we can only hope.
Okay. I hope she wears the Dalmatian costume, you know, Cruella de Vil.
Because, you know, that's going to be the other thing. No host, the way that they're going to do the Oscar show on Sunday night, it's going to be completely different. So it's really curious how this whole show is even going to work. We've never seen an Oscar show like this in decades.
John DeCuss, I thought you were hosting.
No, we're going out to Denny's. Hey, Dean.
See your plans.
Do you think the Oscars are going to be concerned that they will not get the viewership that the Bozo special got on Sunday night?
Yeah, that's a fair point, yeah.
I think that that's probably a big concern of theirs. They called us and asked us, would we mind moving the replay of the Bozo show to 12 noon on Sunday, which that's what we're going to do.
If you they moved it to 12.
Professional courtesy.
Oh, if you missed our Bozo special, our clowns will be on at 12 noon Sunday, Bozo Circus, the 1960s.
Will there be our a red clowns. Carpet? Preview for the Bozo show?
There'll be a red nose preview.
And Best Picture.
Best Picture of the year. This is going to be between Roma and Green Book. I think that the Motion Picture Academy is going to go for Green Book.
You do?
Green Book is my prediction.
Oh, that'd be great.
For a couple of reasons.
You're voting against Roma just because you haven't even seen it.
I'm voting against Roma because I refuse to read a movie. Uh-huh. I will not read a movie. I'll read a book. I'll read something off a Kindle or my iPad or my phone. I'll read a mind.
Graffiti on a garage.
I'll read a billboard. I'm not going to read a movie.
And I think that that is part of the reason that Roma is not going to win Best Picture for all of those reasons. It's maybe a little too artistic for some people. And some also, people. I believe that
idiot talk show host.
This is the first Best Picture nominee ever for Netflix, and the very conventional movie industry, the insiders in the movie industry, they don't like so much that another platform is starting to take over their industry, so they may not be quite ready to give a Netflix movie the Best Picture nod. So that's why my guess is that it's going to be Green Book.
Dino, I have reviews of all of that Monday morning, but before I let you go, we're short on time today, as always, but the Oscars are almost second news today as the continued Jesse Smollett story rolls out. When is he going to get fired? I mean, doesn't Fox have to fire him?
Well, I think that Fox wants to be very careful in what they're doing, because even though everything that happened yesterday, even though the searing beatdown from Superintendent Eddie Johnson yesterday,
who was great, by the way,
he is still a suspect in all of these crimes. The police, Eddie Johnson, gave the reasons why he was arrested. But there, in this country, with our justice system, there is still the presumption of innocence unless he pleads guilty or is found guilty.
Right.
And I think that Fox has to be very careful not to fire somebody on the presumption of guilt before it's actually proven in a court of law.
That's why this week on Empire, the HR director for Fox will be there, and the entire episode is just a meeting about Jesse.
Do you have time to hear what we had?
No, we didn't get it. That's why I was trying to dance around it. We get a clip.
It should be there.
Oh, we do have it now. This is Marlon Wayans.
Oh,
yeah, Marlon Wayans.
I didn't see the update.
Marlon Wayans was on our show this morning, and he was one of the people when this whole Jesse Smollett thing first happened that he tweeted out his support for Jesse Smollett. So I asked him how he felt about it now.
When the whole Jesse Smollett story first came out, you were one of many
tweeted,
people.
Yeah, I said,
you supported him, right?
I had to delete my tweet. Man, God, darn it. But, you know, it's I don't know. I mean, I think he's on the wrong show. I think if he was on NCIS, he would have known. There's cameras everywhere. I have to rewrite this script. I can't write a check. Pay in cash. In MAGA country in Chicago? That's the Obama country.
I don't know. Too soon? I'm not sure.
Never too soon. Yeah. I think it's exactly what's deserved, and I think he makes a valid point.
Yeah.
So, have a great weekend. We'll see you. Sorry, hear you Sunday. See you Monday.
All right.
That's Dean Richards. Girlfriend Brian Bickle's here. Bridget, thank you. I know you have to leave, but I don't know why you're mad at Brian Bickle. I don't know what he did.
He's a tough guy to sit next to.
Really is.
Lots of snarky comments.
A lot of that.
A deep rivalry about sports.
And thanks for coming in and hanging out with us. We'll see you next week. Yep, but you know, anytime you wander by, just come
Stop
on in. Just come on in.
All right. Awesome. Good
and
to see you guys.
Call your kids and tell them how well this went. We started off with the mom's, what would that be called? The mom's lament. The mom's lament. I wake up to, I need this, I need this, I need this, and I need this. Oh, and good morning. That's kind of the order.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
826, our old pal Brian Bickle's in town. Looks great, by the way. Nice to see you, man.
Thanks.
How are you?
Great. Am I on?
Yeah, you're on. Are you can't hear in your headphones.
Oh, I can't hear anything right now.
All right. We'll come over. We'll turn that up.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what? I can see they're not plugged in, Dave. The headphones.
Oh, the plugged in part would be important.
Yeah. That's my, you know what? That's my fault.
Okay. No,
okay. Now you're good.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't need them.
We're in the same room.
You don't need them. Besides, you're going to mess up your hair.
And yeah. If I could just say, Brian is in town for a fetching affair, which is at Hotel Allegra tonight at 171 West Randolph, 7 to 10 p.m. You can get tickets at the door for $200. And the auction online is at bickle19.jester.com. But if you go to the Bickle Foundation website under events, you can also catch the link there and donate.
Yeah, we'll catch up on hockey here in a second. But you guys, you and your wife, you were all about taking care of dogs and having a foundation when you were playing here and earlier on. So tell everybody about where that came from.
Yeah, we started our foundation, I don't know, 8, 7, whatever, how many years ago. But we rescued a dog back home in Ontario. And then there's like a couple years later, there's a ban on it. And then we came to Chicago and then saw the real issue here with the pit bull type dogs. So, you know, we wanted to speak up because it's not the dog, it's the owner. They're a good, loyal dog and smart. And, you know, we're so happy to have ours. She's getting old. She's 13. But
wow.
Oh, not quite a super senior.
Yeah, but... you know, we grew attached to the dog, and we just wanted to
family.
Have a say behind it. And we're helping dogs and helping out kids now with abused kids at the Hespa House on the south side. And now we're doing a program last year to help service people with MS. You know, you can look at me. I look normal and pretty active. But there's the people that need the assistance. And we're going to give service dogs to, people with MS through our foundation.
Well, that's a big deal. It's a very big deal. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about your health. You look great. Most days great. Some days tough. Well, how's it breaking down?
No, it's good. It's I feel like it's Groundhog Day. Being back home, you miss the game. You miss being on the road with the guys and stuff like that. There's the transition's a lot harder than I really thought. But, you know, I didn't want to leave the way I did, but things happen. You have to worry about your health. But
sure.
You know, you think about your kids. I got 2-year-old girls. They're 4 and 2. They're pulling my hair out every day. But, you know, it's fun to see them grow where, you know, at times where I could be on the road or doing things at the practice. And now I'm kicking them out of the door as soon as possible to get on the bus. And
you're helping them. And you're learning important things like how to color inside the lines and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, she's in French immersion. I'm like, honey, I don't really know much French. So I pass that one off to you.
How old are the kids now?
4 and 2.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. God bless. And you'll never get this time back. So it's great. You know, it's mixed blessings, right?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you'd still like to be playing, but you got a blessing here in that you're able to be there with your kids every day.
Yeah. It's been a handful. How about that?
Yeah. Most, but just so people understand, a handful that's mostly good, I assume?
Yeah. There's goods and bads.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a stay at home dad.
Didn't see that coming, did you?
Didn't see that coming, no. But
how are you addressing, girl? I don't think I've told you this. I'm a grandfather now. I have a 3-year-old granddaughter,
mm-hmm.
And the other day she asked me to dress her up like a princess because she had her princess stuff, and I had to go to a YouTube video. I was like, where's this rap? What's happening here? There's a lot of stuff going on. Have you learned how to dress a girl?
I try to. The wife always undresses them. We have different chores, like different routine. I feed the kids and get them kind of, you know, fed and ready. She dresses them. She dresses them as princess. They wear dresses, you know, every other day. She enjoys doing that. If I dress them, it's like track pants and a sweater and at the door. But,
if Amanda lays out the outfit, can you execute that?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Definitely answer. I know where things go.
Okay. I'm not there. Now, how about this? Have you mastered the mystery of the barrette?
The Brett? No, I. Unfortunately, my kids have hair like me right now.
Oh, they're short hair.
Short hair. It's hard to get a nice ponytail.
Yeah.
With my.
You have big hands. Yeah.
Rugged hands. I usually break a couple elastics and pull a lot of hair to get it done. But, you know, it's a work in progress.
Right. Of course it is.
So.
All right. I want to find out more about the foundation, but also talk a little hockey with you when we come back. More with Brian Bickle coming up. Steve Cochran Show continues. This is show. By the way, you like our new studio?
Yeah, it's great. Now I can't see you. Before, you know, you're looking at the street. Now I can't see you because of the light and the water. And
so you're saying it's an advantage. That you can't,
yeah, it's
you can't
definitely
see,
an advantage.
Yeah. Show number 1320 continues next on 720 WGN. All right, got a couple minutes from Brian Bickle before we head to headlines here. So let's talk a little hockey. Have you ever come across Coach Colleton before?
No. He's like the same age as me, though, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, I would say that would be definitely weird.
Especially after playing for Q, because playing for Q, it's like playing for the scary old guy.
Yeah.
And now you got a guy your age. And did you ever play with, I don't know if you ever crossed paths with Colleton.
No, I don't think we ever. He's like, he's the same age as Seabrook, right? So he's a year older than me.
Yeah, I would think in the juniors, though, maybe you're from, because he's a pretty good player back in the day.
Yeah, he's played games. Obviously, he's got a good track record, obviously down in Swiss and down in Rockford. And give him a shot, you know, different look for a different coach. Obviously, I would say it would be different, you know, playing for a coach like that. But
a lot of young guys on this team. Are you surprised they've turned it around the way they have? Because they're right in the middle of it now.
Yep, I think they do. Yeah, there's like a lot of teams. Like you think St. Louis, you know, why, you know, it took them 40 games to figure it out. And, you know,
and suddenly they went 11 in a row.
And then, you know, look at the Hawks. They obviously got some chemistry going and going the right way. The West is usually the strongest out of the two conferences. Now it's the weakest, but they're still, you know, in a spot and looking to, you know, you never know. You look at LA a couple years ago, they came 8th seed and they won the cup.
Exactly.
So
worst to first, playoff-wise.
Brian, anything surprise you about the season Patrick Kane is having?
No. No. It's him. You know, it's, I think...
he's ridiculous.
He's ridiculous. I think the game is falling favor more to him. You know, if it was me out there, the speed and, you know, the less hitting and the physicality, it's getting out of the game. But it's falling right in his lap. You know, it's unbelievable to see what he did. You know, when the game was tough, he still got it done. But now it's, I'm not saying it's more easy for him, but, you know, it's definitely right up his alley.
Well, that's an interesting point. As the game gets faster and more about being quick and puck handling and things like that, less hitting. So really, we could think the older he gets, the better he gets.
You think? Yeah, he's got 90 points or something this year. He's on a 20 game streak. It's I click on the highlights just to see if the streak's still alive in the morning. So because I'm usually falling asleep, like we were telling before, around 9 o'clock, because my kids, you know, wake me up. But you know, it's fun to watch. It's nice to see the Hawks you know, trending in the right direction at the end of the year.
How much time are you in Chicago?
We're here to Monday. We have a big event tomorrow, or actually today. This should be good. We have 200 people. Lord Stanley is going to come tonight.
So, oh, nice.
We got him to make the flight down. So it's going to be good. It's our sixth year, I think, doing it. So we enjoy doing it.
Are you sold out?
Don't think we're sold out.
All right. So how do people at Sandberg? How do people get tickets?
You can go. Well, you can get $200. You can get a ticket at the door at Fetching a Fair Hotel Allegra, 171 West Randolph. The auction online is at bickle19.jester.com, or if you go to Bickle Foundation under events, you can.
Yeah, those auction items are unbelievable. I'm almost like thinking to put someone else's name down so I can. And get into
suddenly
it.
Suddenly you're eligible
there's
to bid?
A trip to Safari, Maui. Wow.
Four Seasons
Disney.
Hawaii. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, and it's limited
Blackhawks
tickets.
Unlimited package, yeah.
So it's not like it's unmounted tickets. It's caps at 100, so you have a, you know, one chance.
Wow.
Doggy gift basket.
It's a lot of stuff. And I like the online auction because it's convenient for everybody. Go to Away's Money. So their foundation again is?
BickleFoundation.org.
Say hi to your wife for us.
I will.
It's great to see you. You're always welcome here. And I have a TV show idea for you, because Hossa had to go out before he wanted to as well. So it's you and Hossa trying to figure out how to retire living on the same cul-de-sac. And hilarity ensues. I'll write it and get back to you. Good to see you, buddy.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks for coming over.
Thanks for having me on.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Hear him singing happy birthday. Better think about the wish I made.
8:44 now.
This year,
John Acosta's here. We're going to do another exciting edition of the game show that all of America is buzzing about.
Every day's a revolution.
What is this?
This is the Jimmy Buffett, Martina McBride, Trip Around the Sun song that I mentioned as a great country Jimmy Buffett.
There you go. Look at this. Look at Joe getting it done.
I know.
He was sick for 3 days, but he's back now.
I know.
I mean, mentally. Oh.
Joe's already at the top of my list. I'm a big fan of Super Joe, but that just put him out. It's a Friday. He just played that. The only thing that would make this better if we were getting paid, but we're not.
Ever?
No, just it's not. We get paid every other Friday.
Okay.
And so
yeah, that's what I hear.
Yeah. Or if somebody brought me salt and vinegar chips, that would also put this over the top.
Well, you need to make a list.
I know.
Like a menu. The misspelling bee. We're going to bring it back here in a few minutes. So here's the deal, John. People call in.
Yep.
You're going to give us very difficult words to spell.
Yep.
And we'll go around the room. First person to spell a word correctly is a big winner.
That's right.
And the listener will win even if it's not on their turn.
Oh, good. I like that.
Throw in 290-170-200 if you'd like to park it and hang out with us right now. 312-981-7200. Johnny, you know, normally we have something to plug here. We have nothing to plug?
No, I've got a, a fundraiser this weekend. I know. Next week I'm in Schererville, Indiana.
No, but I mean, we normally have something to plug. We don't have a show coming up?
Actually, our next show that is on the books is at the Metropolis, September 7th.
Metropolis. In September?
Yes, but I'm working on earlier shows than that. So
okay, but can I get tickets for the September show?
Yes, you can. Yeah. Oh,
just go to the Metropolis website?
Metropolis.com.
Okay. All right, well, why not?
Yeah, do it. We'll push that. I don't care. Spell it.
So last week, Last week, Abigail Grace was over, and she discovered Amy, her Aunt Amy's Beanie Babies. And if you're 3 years old, you know, little soft, cuddly things, you know, that's pretty cool, right?
Oh, yeah. Now, are hers tagged? Like, did Amy touch her Beanie Baby?
Well, for a lot of them.
Okay.
But there were several that weren't opened. Like, they were still in the packages. And I've known Bill F. forever. And if Bill F. has tried to teach one thing, it's like the value is, if you keep them in the box, if you keep the tags on them, the original stuff. If you don't play with them, essentially.
Right. Which is what a great childhood Bill had.
Exactly.
Playing with plastic bags.
Yes.
So here's the deal. Abigail Grace wanted to play with them, and I opened all of them.
Are you sure Amy wasn't saving them something?
No, I did get clearance, but
oh, you did.
I also came across this yesterday, the 10 most valuable Beanie Babies that could be hiding in your attic. I believe, after looking at this list,
you have four.
I have two of the 10.
Okay.
But you opened them and took the tags off.
Yeah.
Yesterday,
me too.
Opened them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here are the values. If you have Princess the Bear with the tag on it, it could be worth $10,000.
What color? Didn't Princess the Bear purple. Come in a bunch of... Oh, the purple one. Okay.
If you have any of the McDonald's International Bears from Happy Meals in the 90s, these are scaled-down mini Beanie Babies. If you have... Well, I can't say any. If you have some of these, some are more valuable than others, but they represented four different countries, Britannia from Britain, Maple from Canada, Aaron from Ireland, and Glory from the U.S. A Britannia Bear in its original packaging... $10,000. Peace the Bear. This is one that I think I have.
We
do too.
Yeah.
Peace the Bear, the multicolored rainbow bear with a peace sign.
Yeah.
$5,000.
Dang it.
Each have it?
Well, it says they have many tag variations during its run. Its tie-dye pattern meant that no two bears were identical. Peace bears in mint condition. $5,000 on eBay.
Who wants it? I mean, come on.
Who cares?
Then you're going to have another right. bear in a plastic
Enjoy.
Bag. Dave, Bill Love.
Snort the Red Bull. I also believe I have this. Notice how I said I have it. Now it's not Amy. Snort the Red Bull, a 1997 edition. Snort the Red Bull replaced the bull they named Tabasco. Red Bull named Snort. There was a copyright question, so they made Snort. Pristine versions of the Bull Benny Baby, or Beanie Baby. $6,300.
Okay.
You can have it. You probably, spent a lot of time in line for that thing.
Claude the Crab, $9,000. I thought I had a crab, but I didn't have Claude. Valentino the Bear. This is the white bear with a heart on his chest.
Yeah.
$42,000.
No way.
$42,000.
Okay, I'm just curious. Many bears. Who's paying for this?
Who cares?
That's what I'm concerned about.
Steve, this has to be in the original packaging, perfect condition, right?
Yeah, I suppose.
With the tag on.
Well, this would be in packaging, right? It's just...
It seems like I could pay somebody to fraudulently put the packaging back together.
You wouldn't do that.
No, of course I wouldn't. Peanut the Royal Blue Elephant, $2,500. Iggy the Iguana, I may have that too. $5,000. You know, I say I may have all these things. Maureen did all the work. Maureen was, when Amy was little, she was the one running around getting these.
Don't give her a cut of the $42,000.
I don't like her chances. Gobbles the Turkey, $6,667. I might even have Gobbles.
I have Gobbles. I know I have Gobbles.
It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And finally, Patty the Platypus. If you started during Beanie Baby, doing Beanie Baby before they were cool, one of the early ones was Patty the Platypus, the fuchsia toy, sold for $9,000 last month. It's just unbelievable. So if anybody told you, like I heard again and again and again, they're not worth anything. Yeah. and your incredibly cute, perfect grandchild comes over and wants to play with him. Oh, you'll do it, I do. You'll love him.
Yes, you will.
Anyway. Imagine me going, no, you can't play with
toys.
You
know what that's worth? Do you have any idea what that is worth?
And somewhere prior to work, Bill Leff is crying right now listening to this. All right, John.
You better stop.
Obviously, not Super Joe's having a reaction to his medication. It's 8:53, John. So you're going to give us all a really difficult word to spell.
Right.
And we're going to go around the room. And we have James and Vivian and Janet and Margot and Liz all standing by to take a crack as well.
Wonderful.
I'll start first. What's the word?
The word is Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude. Oh.
Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say it means enjoyment of others' misfortunes.
Now, Schadenfreude.
Do you know that Justin is off today because it's the 20th anniversary of his comedy group, Schadenfreude?
Oh, I did not know
what
that.
A coincidence.
That's really didn't know
I
that.
I didn't know that. I kid you not.
So this again is Schadenfreude.
You That's can't hysterical. Get tickets because it's sold out at the Hyatt.
S-C-H-A-D-E-N. Freude. Is that accurate?
That was close. That
Are
was
you
good.
Sure you're pronouncing it right? Because you mispronounced the last one, I think. According
Mary,
to the
Mary,
list.
Mary, you're not playing anymore. You're done.
I would go with exactly what you said and then an F-R-E-U-D-E. So it's S-E-H-A-D-E-N-F-R-E-U-D-E.
Wow, that's it.
Is that it?
That's it.
Nice!
Yes.
Congratulations.
That's it.
Dave's on the board.
Wow. Ding, ding, ding.
Wait, spell it again.
You can't. We have to move on. Oh. James is in Lockport. James gets first crack at the next word.
Okay. Ready, James?
Sure.
Kierkegaarden. I'm sorry, Kierkegaardian.
Kierkegaardian? I know Kierkegaard.
Kierkegaardian.
Kierkegaard is different than Kierkegaardian.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Kierkegaardian. James?
Translation?
It's a word you never wanted to be asked to spell.
That's right.
God. I'll say K-I-E-K-E-R-A.
But you gave it a shot. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you listening. Here's Vivian Kierkegaardian.
Okay, can I hear it in a sentence, please?
That was Joe.
Yes, to make sure the kids got across the street, I was a Kierkegaardian.
Oh, how about that? Kierkegaardian.
Okay. Crossing guard.
I don't know. K-I-E-R-K-E-G-A-R-D-I-E-N.
Oh, so close.
Was it close?
It was close. It was so close.
Thank you for listening,
Just
Vivian,
so you know,
and putting
I think
up with us.
John might not be saying these words, right? Because, like, Schadenfreude is Schadenfreude, not Schadenfreude.
I only wish I cared that much. Janet.
Hey.
What's the word for Janet?
I don't get that one again?
Yeah. I wanted you to repeat it.
You wanted me to? Oh, Kierkegaardian.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, you ready?
Yeah, yes. Go ahead.
K-I... E R
yes
K
yes.
E G A
I like the suspense in your building.
R D I A N.
Come on,
then
how did
she
you
got
do
it?
That?
It's the double A. It's the double A. That's what. That's
Come on,
hysterical.
Well, no. If you think about it, break it down. There, you can hear both A's, and if you break it down,
well, that's very impressive. Hold on, you're a big winner.
Very good.
We move on to Margot, and what's Margot's word?
Oh, Margot, this should be easy. Pterodactyl.
Oh, sure, pterodactyl. Margot, you remember from the Mesopotamian dinosaur period. Pterodactyl.
Okay,
sorry.
Oh, did you hear the sadness in
Margo,
his voice?
No, I'm so sorry. Margo, I really am, but thank you so much for
that
listening.
I'm so sorry.
Liz is in Joliet. Pterodactyl, Liz.
T-E-R.
Wow, this judging system is difficult. Thank you, Liz. Thank you very much for listening.
Like
I appreciate it.
I just like looking at Joe, and he gets the buzzer when I look at him.
All right, last crack for anyone on the staff right now. Liz is our big winner, or I should say Janet's our big winner. Anyone on staff that thinks they can spell pterodactyl? Anyone?
I'll take a shot at
it. Go ahead.
Okay. Remember earlier you made a reference to a silent P?
Yeah.
There's a silent P at the start of pterodactyl.
Yep.
P.
Very good.
That's as far as we get. P-T-E-R-A-D-A-C-T-Y-L.
Wow. Wrong.
No, I know.
You were one off.
Super Joe's
nephew.
That's how
close he was.
He's two. Fitz. Fitz knows every dinosaur ever made, and he can spell them. Yeah.
Yeah, he could spell pterodactyl. Yeah. All right, spell it, Joe.
It is a P-T-E-R-O-D-A.
You know, that's a good point.
Thanks, Joe.
O-D-A?
D-A-C-T-Y-L. Yes.
We continue with the misspelling bee as time allows before 10. And the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where we go next.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
La, 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 la. La, 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 la. La, 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 la. La, 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 la.
9:10. I think we're going to have time for one more round of the brand new yet exciting sweeping the country game of misspelling bee before the show's over. John DeCosta's here. John, we have friends in studio.
Yes, we do.
Why don't you introduce him?
We do. Our old friend Mark Mesrimus.
Why do you have to call him old? I mean, he's not that old.
No, he just turned 61.
Oh, thank you. 70. I turned 70,
Jay. Oh, you look great.
I know. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that
amazing? You look great. I mean, considering the fact that you could die any day now, you look fantastic.
You could die in traffic, I heard.
And yes, you could.
Yeah, and Mark, why don't you introduce
Angelique?
Young lady.
Angelique, yes. From Variety, our director, executive director from Variety is here. And Variety Children's Charity of Illinois keeps me busy in retirement. So does Angelique.
All right, so Angelique.
Sure.
Angelique, let's start with the big event. What are you plugging?
Well, we have our annual Oscar event coming up this Sunday.
That seems That seems right, because the Oscars are Sunday, John. Write that down.
That's, Oscars.
That's going to be the day we hold the party.
Good
for
timing.
It. So, yeah.
And where will the party be?
It is called Naperwood. We're doing it in Naperville, and we're celebrating all things Naperville and Hollywood all at the same time.
It's fun. I don't know where Naperwood is.
It's very close to Naperville. So we're going to be at Noah's event venue on Sunday, starting at 6 o'clock with a red carpet, live broadcast, hosted by Sarah Knight Adamson, one of our film critics here in Chicago, and a lot of really fun local businesses supporting. We have Francesca's coming out to do a pasta station and a guacamole bar and Le Chocolat. And so much community support.
Do you have to have seen all the movies to get in?
I haven't seen any of the movies.
Okay, so there won't be a test at the front door. Okay. Seems right.
And I've seen all nine, so I'll help her out.
Have you really?
I have.
Okay, what's going to win Best Picture?
Personally, I would like it to be Green Book or Black Panther. I watched Roma the other night, and almost 20 minutes in, I almost turned it off. Black and white, subtitled.
Right.
With very little entertainment value. Now,
so this is just, you know what Roma is to me? Roma is, there's a bottle of wine that's brought out by the sommelier, and nobody at the table understands how to even sniff the wine, let alone judge it for taste and color and all of those things. Because why? Because we have better things to do. And yet everybody wants to go, oh, have you seen Roma? Oh, yeah, it's Roma. Roma, yeah, it's not the best picture of the year.
Well, I'm a little confused. Why is it black and white in subtitle when it's about Roma Downey Jr., correct?
No. Oh, no. You're close. Actually, you're not that close.
Okay.
All right, so explain what Variety does. What's the function of Variety as a foundation?
Variety, the children's charity, assists families of children with disabilities by paying for mobility equipment that insurance doesn't. That's our Kids on the Go program.
Sure.
We have Live to Achieve, and that allows adaptive sports opportunities from the recreational through the elite levels. Lots of fun. And speaking of fun, we have a whole program dedicated to nothing but fun. That's Variety at Play. We do closed down carnivals, pumpkin farms, days at the zoo.
Making sure kids have fun.
Absolutely.
Right. Making sure that they're kids.
Yeah, that's what it should be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Work hard in school and have fun. That's your job description as a kid.
That's it.
So, all right. So, John, you have known Mark for a long time. He's been our good partner for our New Year's Eve show.
Yes.
And we'll be back there again this year.
Yes.
So you might as well announce that now.
Yes, we will be back at the Tivoli it'll be our fourth year for New Year's Eve back at the Tivoli. How great is that?
What is this celebration for 4 years?
One is paper. 25 is silver. 50 is gold. 4 is what? A salve or a balm?
I think it's. I think it's I think it's Tiger Balm.
Oh, it's Tiger Balm.
It's the pain relieving gel.
But we're gonna have a lot of fun. Yes. And thank you for all the help, dude.
Oh, you guys! You know, I thought it was a great show this year. Thanks. Those of people that missed it, and I thought Dean Richards was really funny. And if Dave Ennett isn't in San Diego or some warm place, maybe you can talk him into coming.
Dave's been to a few of the shows, and I think that's why he's not coming anymore.
No. I always enjoy the shows, but they always seem to the New Year's Eve show always seems to coincide with the bowl game.
Yeah, which is a good problem.
It is a good problem. No question about it.
All right, so Mark, you're the movie expert here after all those years. Since you've seen all the films, and since we're promoting Oscar night at Naperwood, or it is called Naperwood.
Naperwood is the name of the party. Right. It's being held in Naperville.
In Naperville. At which event location?
At Noah's Event Venue.
Okay. Tickets. How do I get tickets?
You visit varietyofillinois.org/events.
Yeah. See how I work that plug-in again?
Thank you.
all right. So, best actor.
Best actor is going to be Rami Malek from Bohemian.
Everybody seems to agree.
Rhapsody. Yeah. But Christian Bale is very good. If he won for Vice playing Chaney, it's a terrific performance.
Yeah, well, regardless of your politics, he is crazy good as Chaney.
Yes.
Yeah. Best actress.
It's going to be Glenn Close.
Yeah, I think so.
She's been to the altar 7 times.
Is that right?
She's never won, wow. So about time.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know she was married 7 times.
No, that's a whole different thing. No. Been to the altar 7 noms. Best supporting actor.
I'm going to.
Got to be Mahershala.
Yes. I always mess up his name, and my daughter.
Ali?
Always. Yeah, Ali.
Mr. Ali.
Mr. Ali. Yes.
That is how I didn't dive into
saving. He's going to win for Green Book. Yeah. Yes.
I just love that movie.
I do, too.
Yeah, tremendous. Supporting actress.
Is going to be Regina King for If Beale Street Could Talk.
Okay. Director?
Coran, the director of Roma. He will win Best Director, and he should win Best Foreign Film, but not Best Picture.
So everybody was saying this is kind of a toss-up year. I'm hearing a lot of similar predictions.
Yeah, I was going to say, it all sounds the same.
Yeah. I would be happy. I'm rooting for Green Books because it's such a great movie. It's a feel-good, wonderful performances. But if Black Panther won, I would be okay with that. I don't think Star is Born is going to win, but I'd be okay with that. You know,
I'm looking forward to seeing Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga do the song.
Yeah, that should be...
Because Bradley Cooper, I don't know if you know this, John, there's nothing going for him.
He's ugly. You
know, yeah, he can sing, he can play music, along with the fact that he's already established himself as a superstar. He apparently can direct a movie. You know. He can write. And that's right, he's had a child with a Sports Illustrated supermodel.
Oh, yeah.
So he's got nothing
going on. But he's got a bunion.
That's right. That's the one downside to being Bradley.
You can't be successful with a bunion.
The B is for bunion. Mark, get a plug-in for Variety. What's your tie is as far as your emotional tie to it, and why do you spend so much time with it?
Oh, I've been with it so long. It's always been tied into the movie industry, and it's always been a feel-good for me. I can't even tell you how many years I have done it. If I've been involved 40 years in it. But to do stuff for the kiddos always makes me feel good. And being in the movie industry, even though recently retired, we've always been a big part of the Gold Hearts Drive. This year was Mary Poppins. We were selling them in the movie theaters. And I'm happy to say that since I passed the baton in retirement, that Classic Cinema's raised over $15,000 in Gold Hearts. And I even brought a couple. This year, Emily Blunt was our spokesperson. And we got a gold heart for everybody for Mary Poppins.
How great is
it's
that?
Got a few nominations out there,
right?
But it was beautiful.
Thank you. Just don't fling it at me. Someone could be hurt.
Yeah, but so that always makes me feel good. And we get a small donation to the theater of what $5 for our heart. $3 for a heart, and it just really feels good. And like for Classic Cinemas to raise $15,000, that's going to take care of
quite a few of the adaptive bikes and sports wheelchairs that those programs provide. It is.
And Angelique, obviously this is not the only event of the year. If you are you looking for volunteers throughout the
always,
year as well?
Always.
Is the best thing to do go to the Variety website for them?
Variety of Illinois.org.
All right, Variety of Illinois.org for the big event or to help out anytime. Nice to see both of you.
Nice to see
you.
So good
thanks
luck.
For making
good
your
luck,
way in here.
Yeah. Yes. Have a better drive back home, please.
Please.
Be safe.
Please.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
$9.23. Let's go to the newsroom where Steve Grzanich is standing by. A new Jussie Smollett twist.
Just posted on Variety.com, Jussie Smollett has been removed from the final two episodes of the season five Empire. This following his arrest and charges in Chicago on Thursday. A new statement from the company says that the recent incidents, allegations are very disturbing. We're placing our trust in the legal system as the process plays out. We're also aware of the effects of this process on the cast and crew members who work on the show, and to avoid further disruption on the set, we've decided to remove the role of Jamal from the final two episodes. So Jussie Smollett out of the last two episodes of Empire.
It's very it makes total sense. I mean, I don't know anybody that could criticize Fox for doing it. They have a business to run, obviously. But I was very, very impressed with Eddie Johnson yesterday, and apparently the rest of the world was as well, because he was trending on Twitter all day, and, you know, he spoke from the heart about being an African-American man, about being a Chicagoan, and the kind of damage from a cop standpoint for actual victims of hate crimes that this type of thing can do. He reinforced that the Chicago police will always prosecute hate crimes to the fullest. He talked about how dangerous false reporting is. It's not just a cop sitting at a desk, filling out a report, and having his time wasted. There's money involved. There's man hours involved. There's, frankly, risk involved. So this was not just a stupid stunt by a guy who had a bad idea. Regardless of whatever his own damage is between his ears or in his heart, this is a really, really terrible thing to do. And, you know, he may or may not go to jail, but he's certainly in the crosshairs, and that's probably a bigger concern to him right now than he's probably done in show business. In the meantime, it's 9:25. We want to talk about cops saying the right thing. Yesterday, Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart was on the show, and we were talking about the fact that now a week ago today in Aurora, five people went to work and were murdered. Murdered by a guy who was fired after 15 years at work, who brought a gun into work that he shouldn't have had. And had previous convictions, did prison time for violence. And again, it's another example of a nut with a gun taking lives, changing lives forever. The victims now go on without fathers and brothers and friends. A 21-year-old on his first day as an internship will never see his family again, and the family will never see him. It's just tragic all the way around. So the obvious question that comes up is, how did the nut get the gun? And Sheriff Tom Dart brought up a pretty scary scenario because of a loophole in Illinois law. Here's a clip from yesterday.
To have a firearm, you need a FOID card. Yep. You apply to the state police to get your FOID card. There's things that you can do to get that revoked. Commit a crime, have a mental illness, things along those lines. Then it's revoked. The system that's in existence only speaks to the card. So you think about this, Steve. It's as if we collectively as a society said, that individual cannot be around cards. Get the FOID card, get his credit card, get his library card, get all his cards. The system literally only goes after the card. It doesn't speak to the guns.
Wait, is that stupid law, or is that lobbying by gun makers?
Lobbying. Trust me, 4 or 5 years ago, I was down in Springfield on this very issue saying, listen, this is absurd, guys. That what we're trying to get at is get the guns away from people. We could care less about a physical card.
Right.
We need the guns. And when I tried to put some teeth in the law, they wanted nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing.
That's Sheriff Tom Dart yesterday, and that should scare you. I say it all the time, but it always bears repeating, and I talk to politicians all the time, so I know this is factual. The one way to get politicians to move is to tell them you're not putting up with the nonsense anymore. And in some cases, like Mike Madigan, you can't reach him on the phone. Apparently Mike doesn't know the phone was invented. Either that or he's hiding. But for everybody else who is reachable, call the offices of your representatives in Springfield and say, enough. At the bare minimum, fix that law. You got a convicted felon who gets a letter that he's no longer legally allowed to have a gun. And then the police are supposed to come by and get his FOID card and have him voluntarily return the weapons? That's insane. If somebody's crazy and intent on committing a crime, they're not going to give you the gun back without you taking a gun.
He also mentioned that, like, sometimes when they've gone to the house of these people, like, the families are like, please take the guns.
Right.
We don't want them here. My daughter is sick. We don't like that she has these, you know.
Yeah, specific case, which she was talking about yesterday. Take these guns. Imagine that. You've got a troubled child over the age of 21 who you're trying to take care of who happens to have guns. I mean, it's a nightmare. So ask your elected representatives to just be courageous enough to do the right thing and make sure the laws on the books are followed. This is the type of thing that makes me just nuts. 9:29, we're back with your headlines in a moment on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Of course, we would play this for Ben Bradley. Wasn't Ben supposed to be on the phone with us?
Yeah, they're supposed to call in. Ben and Lourdes.
This would be awkward if Ben's with Lourdes. Lourdes just got engaged.
Yeah.
What would Ben be doing with Lourdes at 9:45 in the morning?
Ben is married also, so.
Even more awkward.
Yeah. If we could thank Catherine Lake, she's the person that does a lot of our commercials here at the station. Earlier, I said my Friday would be over the top made if somebody brought me some salt and vinegar chips.
And she brought you chips?
She brought me some salt and vinegar chips.
Wow.
So.
It's like your fear is spreading around the radio station.
Oh, who are you calling?
Oh, that's Lourdes. I don't know what happened there. wrong line, I guess, right? Oh, yeah, there it is. Never mind. I literally picked up the wrong line. I don't have a cold.
You have a cold. Steve has been saying, Steve's one of these guys who says, I don't have allergies until he gets a cold. And then he says, oh, I've got this allergy thing going, but
it's
he
not
has
a cold.
And then when you have a cold, you're like, well, maybe it's allergies. You got a whole
game going on.
Busy
weekend ahead. I do not have a cold.
You have a cold, I'm telling you.
I had one for like a week. Yeah, it doesn't go away.
I don't have it.
Oh, you have it.
And so,
let's go live to Lourdes.
All right, Lourdes.
Hey. Listen, hi.
Why are you with Ben at this hour?
Are we here?
Yeah, you're on the air right now, so stop swearing.
But are we on the phone or the executive producer office line?
Now, listen, let's start with the obvious here. Would it kill you two to come over to the studio? Would it kill you to come over here?
We're currently, like, huddled in a closet at WGN in front of one microphone wearing 1.5 headphones.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And yet you still
Here's
take
the deal.
It on the phone.
Here's the deal. The next time you guys want me to come on the television, you know, the TV, the television set, the thing in the corner of the room, I'm going to do it by phone from a closet. I just don't think you love me anymore.
I think that was a slam on you, Ben. Not me.
Hot up on your audio board, Steve. I can't believe I have to tell you how to operate this. The executive producer microphone at WGN, and you will hear us live.
I don't want to.
I'm sorry. The people that set this up said they would be on the phone, so I was not.
Can I hear you guys now?
No, because I called and I wanted to hear on the phone, but I thought they knew we were going to be on the line. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Wait, hold on a second. Ben, are you there? Ben?
Yes.
Okay.
Are they on the phone?
No, he wants to give me a hard time about not running the controls properly. I mean, come on, dude. I don't hear you.
This is a mic check. Can you hear me on the phone or on the mic?
I can only hear you on the phone. This is the greatest segment ever.
Let us know when we're live, okay?
Oh, no. Now we can hear him.
Hearing
feedback
both.
On the, yeah. Oh, let's turn off that microphone, I think.
Right, hold on.
Okay.
Microphone.
There it is.
There's Ben. Now, where's Lourdes?
I'm here.
You're both there.
Our faces
right
are 4 inches apart from each other.
All right. It's cute how you act like this wasn't planned.
Oh. I offered her some Tic Tacs before we started.
That seems like the right move. All right. Let's start with the obvious before we get to the obvious. Okay. Lourdes, congratulations.
Thank you so much, Cochran. Is this exciting or what?
We are so happy. I'm not sure who thought it would be longer, her mother or us.
Well, you know, it's Lourdes. It's interesting. You know, you post that you got engaged, which is amazing, and I love that you included a ring picture, because oftentimes people hold out on a ring picture and it's like,
I know, the goods.
It's a beautiful ring. But then all your coworkers reposted your engagement, which never happens. Nobody else ever shares your excitement.
Well,
but
people like Lourdes.
Everyone
it's Ben,
at GN,
they don't like.
Yeah, they were very excited.
Because it was like a Valentine's Day miracle. That's how they look at it. It is a miracle.
Now, I will not have you.
Their eyes.
I will not have you besmirch your fiance. I'm a big fan of your fiance,
he's
as you
best.
Know.
He's the best.
He's the luckiest man on the planet.
He is the luckiest guy, but I also am a big fan of his, so you're lucky too.
Oh, I am. I am.
I'm just mad because Demetrius and I had a bet. He took 0 to 3 months for engagement, you know, from whenever we started, and I took 3 months to 30 years, and I lost.
So
well,
mean.
Congratulations to Matt Thank and Lourdes. Do we have a date yet? And have I been hired?
I've been told that you want to perform the wedding. You want to officiate the wedding.
No, not that I want to. I said I would.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
Are you registered online?
Don't make it smaller than it is. This is very important.
As a preacher.
I am ordained by the highest authorities of the internet.
Do I have to pay you? Because we're trying to save a little money.
No. I'd be offended if you tried. So just keep your options open. Okay. I have married, I think it's 12 people.
But only one divorce, right?
Yeah, I'm 11.
Perfect. Hey,
those are great odds.
I'm 11-1.
That's better odds than Vegas weddings.
Right? And the guy that got divorced was a friend of mine that had already been married twice. So honestly, how much chance did he have anyway?
Exactly.
It was his third time around. Yeah. And he hadn't worked on him.
Did you work out the prenup for him beforehand? Or no, is that not part of your services?
You talking about Lourdes and Matt?
No, your friend who's been married half a dozen times.
Yeah, no, I don't do legal. I just do love.
You can get that on the internet too, you know.
Yeah, that's what I hear. That internet is really catching on.
I hear it's going to be big one day.
All right, let me go live to Dave Ennett here, because Dave is our ALA stair climb guy.
Hey, I'm going to jump in here and say maybe we should take a break and come back with them.
All right. Well, you're the producer.
Thank you.
Stand by. It only took us 20 minutes to figure out how to get you guys on the air. So we'll come back. More with Lourdes and Ben Bradley. By the way, they're on every afternoon at 4 on the number one rated WGN News at 4. And they're just waiting for that primetime 9 o'clock team to kick the bucket, and then they're sliding right in there.
No, we don't want to work nights.
Oh, no, of course not. Stand by. A blatant plug for our sister station, WGN-TV. Tonight at 9, Dave Ennett will be on.
I will be.
With?
With Joe Doddlin and Micah Matera, I presume.
What about Skilling? Skilling's no good.
And Tom Skilling, yes.
Skilling's a pretty big deal. I don't know why you're blowing him off.
Actually, be on a 5, I think, today. So,
all right, we'll plug you guys, too. By the way, you know I'm a fan of both of you, Ben Bradley and Lourdes Duarte. And I think that 4 o'clock show is tremendous. So congratulations on it.
Oh, thank you very much. We have fun, and I hope it shows on TV.
Yeah, and Jarrett's great, and... Who am I missing?
Demetrius.
Oh, Demetrius, obviously. Yeah. And Aaron. Yeah, Aaron's terrific, too. All right. So, Dave, let's get to the plug for the plug, not the plug for TV, the other plug.
Okay. The American Lung Association Fight for Air Climb. We are just over 2 weeks away. And WGN Radio and WGN TV are teaming up again this year. We'll have a team there for the Fight for Air Climb. It's coming up Sunday, March 10th at Presidential Towers in Chicago's West Loop. And you can choose to climb one tower. You can climb all four towers, which adds up to 2,340 steps. Now, I know Lourdes has been a regular at the Fight for Air Climb.
Is that right?
Yeah. I know. That's all I hear.
Yeah, I remind Ben of this every day.
He's so athletic.
How many times have you done it?
I think maybe 4 or 5 times.
And have you finished all 4 or 5 times?
Yeah. I've done all 4 towers because you get to take a break in the middle. That makes it easier.
Did you go up all 4 towers or just down?
No.
Because you say
take the elevator down.
Take a break between towers, I would say, what, a week? Week and a half?
It's not quite that long.
Like 10, 15 minutes.
But you know, it's actually taking the elevator down sounds like, well, it's less strenuous, but really the tension of waiting for the elevator to come, so you get in the next car because other people are waiting. Plus, the physical toll of walking downstairs is tougher on your knees than walking up.
No question.
Right?
Well, I was just kind of doing some math in my head here. So if you do all 4 towers, that's like walking up 180 floors. Mm-hmm. That's taller than the tallest building in the world, the Burj Tower in Dubai, which is like 160
stories. That's the right attitude, Ben, to go into it. Make it impossible in your head.
Well, I didn't say I'm doing all 4 towers. So the key is I've found, you know, we do the Chicago Police Foundation Memorial Run every year, too. And what I do is I bring my 11-year-old son.
Okay.
So that way I can blame him for any breaks that are necessary.
Slow down.
Oh, right. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. What happens if he breaks away and passes you?
Which that has happened.
That actually happened this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, like, we all get old. Not Dave or I. All right, so, Dave, we have an impressive team, don't we, TV and radio?
We do. We have a great team. I'm glad Ben's joining us this year, and Lourdes, and big group from WGN-TV, and we have a...
Maureen Cochran, Ross Cochran.
I was just going to say, the WGN radio portion of this will include members of the Cochran family.
And my extended family as well, my sister and my brother-in-law.
My wife's going to do it for the first time this year.
You're leaving out your co-captain, who actually, there's some drama along with
what's
your
going on there?
Mary Vandeveld.
Oh, come on. I just have a boot on my foot.
She's in a boot today.
Just for the day. I'm okay. I had a little toenail issue, but I'm fine.
She had an infected toenail.
Okay, let's just...
I was in a band called Infected Toenail.
They ripped off her toenail without telling her.
I wasn't expecting it. And they're like, yeah, this half of it was left. They're like, yeah, this has to go. Dr. Turf. My foot doctor.
Why are you going to be okay there?
It's just gross.
Does that mean you have turf toe?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Infected Toenail.
He's awesome. Dr. Turf is the best. Except he didn't prepare me. He just numbed my toe and yanked it out. I go, you know, this is torture in some countries.
Oh. Yeah, you know, it would be illegal in a lot of places. All right, so Lourdes.
I'll be fine.
Lourdes, since you have the most experience along with Dave.
Exactly. I like the way you're thinking.
What do you want to tell people about why they should get involved?
You know what? It's such a great organization, and every year we really try to be a part of it because you've got, in Illinois, there are over 1.5 million people who suffer from lung disease. So it's something that you know. Either you know somebody who's affected by it, you have a relative or a friend, and so you really try to give back and be a part of this community and see if you can help somebody who is going through a difficult time. It's the number one cancer killer is lung cancer.
And anyone can get it. You don't anyone just have to have been a smoker can get it. Or something.
And just on a personal level, my stepdad passed away from lung cancer 15 years ago, and I know my family in South Florida, they also try to be involved with the Lung Association. So this is kind of my way of doing my part from over here.
Well, nicely done by you.
Yeah.
Ben, nice for you to tag along.
Lord has told me I had to do it.
It's a
great organization for years.
Of course it is. It's a wonderful group, and I'm doing my part. I'm donating money. And I may be showing up on the Dean Richards show to help broadcast that thing.
Oh, awesome. Great. Yeah. Great.
Looking forward to it. And I'm assuming Mary's toe will heal by then.
Well, we don't know that.
The Vegas money moving to the TV team.
No, we don't know that.
We're all one team, Ben. We're all one team.
I've told Mary before, the words amp, pew, and Tate seem to come to mind.
Oh, boy. Thanks a lot.
Well, if I go down, I'm blaming my Nike shoes.
I don't blame you. They're falling off and blowing off everybody's feet. It's crazy what's happening out there.
It's wild, wasn't it?
All right, little fiance and your friend Ben. Have a great day, and we'll see you at 4 o'clock. That's Lourdes Duarte and Ben Bradley from Channel 9 in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where we'll find Steve next. Bill and Wendy are here. You guys probably heard the early stages of the brand new game show that's sweeping the nation, The Misspelling Bee.
Loved it. It's really good.
All right, John, do you have a couple words we can try on Bill and Wendy?
Sure. How about this one? Onomatopoeia.
Onomatopoeia. Wendy.
She's on the WGN-TV Morning News every morning.
Correct.
Love her work.
Oh, she is good. She's around town with onomatopoeia.
Yep. Yeah.
Is it one more time?
One more time.
Onomatopoeia.
These are words that sound like what they say, right?
Right.
Is that what that is?
This is not definition B.
Oh, it's not a definition B.
Close, Bill. Close.
I'm going to go PT.
Barney. That's pterodactyl.
Pterodactyl.
Okay. How do you spell onomatopoeia?
Onomatopoeia.
I was wrong.
Of course.
Now, anyone repeat that and get it right.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, one more.
One more. Prosciutto.
Prosciutto.
That's it.
I'm Italian.
Excellent.
That's it.
Prosciutto.
I can't believe you got it.
It's I got it right here.
All right,
unbelievable.
Give Bill one more.
Give me one more.
Oh, Bill wants one more. Handkerchief.
Oh, I got this.
I know that one, too.
Yeah. H-A-N-K-E-R-C-H-I-E.
No. Try it with a D. Handkerchief.
It is.
You and I went to the same school.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
exactly right. Handkerchief.
Yeah, you're just saying it, though. You're not spelling it.
Well, no, but it's like, how do you remember how to spell Wednesday? Wednesday.
Yep.
But I have a friend named Hank Erchief, and that's how he spells it. Oh, so that's the way I spell
it. Hank Erchief.
Yes. By the way, I do have something we should plug this weekend.
Oh, what do you have?
I'm going to see Infected Toe.
I hope y'all have a delightful weekend. Here's Wendy.